Your dog's ready for one more block. Your knees, not so much. Time to call Joint Relief Institute. Fast, non-surgical knee pain relief. 708-888-0000.
Hi, kids. Him and her back on the radio, just back from beautiful downtown Burbank.
Really? And there's a certain age that goes, yeah, so? And then There's those of us that go, ha, 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 because we remember beautiful downtown Burbank.
Yeah, but I wonder how many people get that reference.
Yeah.
Jonathan, beautiful downtown Burbank. Anything?
I envision film studios. Not necessarily much else.
Okay, no. But you don't get the reference.
I don't get the reference. That's okay. Correct.
All right. Then that
okay.
Kind of reinforces my thought that we chuckle at it, and then there's an age that goes, so? What?
And actually, there are, Rod, I heard you laughing.
Oh, yeah.
Am I correct? There are really two significant, beautiful downtown Burbank references.
Well, the one I was thinking of was Laugh-In, Gary Owens.
Right.
Yeah. Laugh-In.
Yeah.
And probably Johnny Carson.
Exactly.
That's it. Yeah.
We have a winner.
The both of them.
Ding, ding, ding.
And to be such a young guy, he knows, his trivia.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're also young on the radio.
You. By the way, I have to ask you, since, Ron, you're in the newsroom and you have access to all the information in the world.
Yes.
What the heck is going on downtown? It took us...
I don't know.
It took us forever to... Well, it wasn't as bad as the hour and a half.
No.
Yeah.
But once we got to close to Grand Avenue,
mm-hmm.
Oh boy, were there traffic people doing something at Navy Pier and stuff was backed. It took us probably longer to get from Grand Avenue...
To the station.
To the station.
Than he did from home to Grand Avenue.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Wow, well, you're having a night. No, I don't know. I don't have any information on that. I'm sorry.
But kids, buckle up, because next weekend is the Aaron Water Show.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. That's always fun.
And Bob, you were saying the Bears?
Bears are playing their preseason home game.
Oh, okay. That's what's going on.
And that's at noon, though.
Yeah.
Okay, because the Aaron Water Show, I think, we used to get out there at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Doesn't it typically break up about 5 or 6 in the evening?
Yeah.
Good, go home, people. Once you've seen the Aaron Water Show, you're going to be tired. Go home.
Because I remember the Aaron Water Show many, many years ago was when Johnny and I realized that there was something going on, and we were walking back from North Avenue Beach, having spent the day broadcasting at the... Aaron Water Show, and we went up to the John Hancock Building,
right.
And we took a photo.
And one of those silly little photo booths that you get in.
And when you got home and you showed the photo to your mom, what did she say?
She said, I'm keeping this because you're going to marry him. And I was like, hello? Don't tell my boyfriend.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I said.
Because at that time, Johnny was dating someone, and I was going through a divorce, and neither of us had any thought of any relationship with anybody else.
She literally took the picture and put it in her dresser drawer so I would not take it away. And we were just sitting next to each other in the picture, too. But she said, I'm keeping it. We'll post that picture next week because it's an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hi, kids. We're back. I had a great week in Pasadena.
Just went by
Pasadena.
Too fast.
Yeah.
Way too fast. Easy peasy getting out there and coming back. And I know a lot of people are not pleased with Midway Airport. I love Midway Airport because you get out of... Bob, you're squinching your face.
No, I like Midway.
What was that squinch? Did you smell something?
No, I just enjoy Midway's always had the, ugly red-haired stepchild of airports in Chicago.
But honestly, I will be totally honest, and there are a lot of wonderful, good, hardworking people at both airports. Oh, boy, do we prefer Midway to O'Hare.
They're just pleasant people. It's like small town airport.
It's like you get the feeling that the TSA people at Midway haven't had the horrible night before that it seems like everybody at O'Hare has had.
Well, look at the difference of the traffic that comes through, though.
Yeah.
I mean, we just sailed right through, and I have my bottle of frozen water. They never.
And by the way, if we haven't mentioned this in a while, if you don't know, if you want to take a bottle of water with you, freeze it the night mm-hmm. before. That is perfectly legal.
And I take it out and I put it in one of the pans so that they see it, and the TSA agent will lift it up and see that the top has not been opened and that, in fact, it is still frozen, and it just sails right through. And I laugh as I walk by and look at $6 bottles of water. $6. Yeah. Ouch. And plus, it's water I don't even like. I don't need to get smart from a bottle of water. I'm funny like that.
How much was it you paid for coffee?
That was $6. Okay. For a little tiny cup of coffee, yeah. too. I said, I'll take a small. And he said, okay, that's $6.16. I was, ooh. And then, of course, they've got a tip cup there for you. So I made it $7 by.
Here's a tip. Don't buy airport coffee.
It was actually good coffee, though. Well, we have a lot of stuff coming up tonight. So many things to talk about. Yes, we will share with you some of our California experiences, because we have some good ones. Some really good,
good
times. We don't do a lot of the touristy things. This was our fifth year to visit the Crispins out in Pasadena. So we have our favorite hotel where people know us because the same people are working at the hotel, which I take as a good
sign.
And
that's a huge sign, because this is, as you said, about the fifth year that we've stayed at this hotel, and we run into the same faces.
People working
nice
at
people, nice place, clean hotel.
The guy that opens your door, he goes, hey, you're back. I'm going, yes, you remember me. Pardon me while I hug you, because you make me feel so important.
We have one experience that we'll share with you later. We're keeping this under wraps for the moment.
Oh.
But one of the most unusual experiences that we have.
Unless you've been to Pasadena, you may know what we're talking about.
Don't unwrap the Christmas present yet.
You know me.
Yes, I do.
Stop picking at the corners.
Yes. Or in my case, chewing on the corners.
Literally.
So that I could blame the dog. Because if I chewed it and it was really wet, and I put it back under the tree, and they go, look what the dog did. Oh. And then the third or fourth time they realize, wow, that dog doesn't actually tear the package apart, only chews on the ends of the packages.
As long as we're teasing people, also a little later tonight, we are going to play a brand new song.
Yes.
We're not going to say what it is. All we will say is it is a brand new recording by someone who was a member of the WGN Radio Walk of Fame.
Yes.
That's the only clue you get. And
it's not Max Armstrong.
And I guess we should mention, this is one of the reasons you need to listen to this show now. Because that will probably not, because of all kinds of music agreements when it comes to streaming, that will probably not be on the stream.
Mm-hmm.
And
so for people who listen to the podcast and write to us and say, but I didn't, that's not our doing. We're not cutting music out. That's why we make our music in studio guests available to you in the form of video. So you get a really great experience, but it takes a couple of weeks to get those things edited.
Which reminds me. Hopefully this week, because we have so much stuff we have to take care of on our blog this week, there are some wonderful new Alice Wallace videos that are going to appear, and Empty Pockets videos.
Right. Alice was in here 2 weeks ago, and the Empty Pockets were in here 3 weeks ago, and we're in here tonight. We're going to take a quick break and come back. Tonight is a significant night in baseball history. We'll talk a little bit about that. If you're a moviegoer, you need to be listening to Ron Brown, because he reviews movies, and there's history being made this weekend again at the movie theater. So stay with a whole lot coming up tonight here on WGN. This summer, whether you are enjoying your morning coffee on the porch or working in the garage or relaxing on the patio after sunset, the CC Radio 2E from C. Crane makes every listening experience better. The 2E is built to pull in weak, distant AM and FM stations with clarity that most radios miss. The high-quality audio from the CC Radio 2E can be adjusted so it sounds like we are kind of right there in the room with you.
Right behind you.
I know. It's a little scary.
Don't be afraid.
For emergencies, it includes a NOAA weather with alert, and it even lets you monitor additional emergency communications with a 2-meter ham band.
Yes, and we love it.
We
and
do.
There are, if you're in the Chicago area, there are regular meetings, 8 o'clock on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Thursday nights, yes. We recommend the CC Radio 2E from the Sea Crane folks, which has the power and the strength to bring in the signal better. To order the CC Radio 2E or to receive a free catalog, call Sea Crane at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Or visit them online at seacrane.com. Radios are also available on Amazon.
Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio. A lot coming up tonight. A little later tonight, Dr. Patrick Crispin will be joining us. And boy, have we got some updates with Patrick that you want to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Earlier this week, we were listening to Lisa Dent, and Ron does his movie reviews every Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And we get the feeling you kind of like Spider-Man?
I did. I was so surprised because it's been a long time since I've seen a Spider-Man movie. I mean, I took my son to Spider-Man, the first one, and that was like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's like I thought, you know, I've seen that. I'm not going to go to every single superhero movie. So I didn't see the Tom Holland Spider-Mans until I knew I was going to review the fourth one. So I said, well, to give it a fair review, I've got to see the other three. And I did, you know, so it's not a hard job, but I did it. And it was a lot of fun. And I liked the three, and I liked the fourth one probably the best of all of them.
I think
I'm going to pause you for a second here. I agree it is important, even if you've seen the previous Spider-Man, because this is a little different concept of Spider-Man. They throw in a little different stuff, and you need to know the backstory for each successive movie.
So, Ron, you said that it's best if you see at least three before you see four.
Number three. I don't think you need to see all three of them.
Right.
But the three, because of the way that number three ends and number four picks up right on that, you might be lost a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a hard thing to do if you're going to watch a Spider-Man movie. I think most people who are going to see the Spider-Man movie have already seen three and two, or the Homecoming. What are they called? Mm-hmm. Homecoming.
Yeah.
Far From Home and No Way Home. They've probably already seen those. They have a huge fan base, and they can count me as one now. I thought these are very well done. Very well done.
That's awesome. And you thought that Tom Holland was a good Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. He's very engaging, very young, and he's a terrific actor. And Zendaya is very charming as his friend slash love interest and off-screen wife.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just...
Wait, time out. I thought that was just rumor. They're really married?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I believe. Yeah.
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 Huh? And you guys are all going, uh-huh, where have I been?
And they're in, like, the top two movies of all time, basically, in The Odyssey and in Spider-Man No Way Home, or... Not No Way Home, Brand New Day, along with John Bernthal. He's in Odyssey and Spider-Man as well.
Wow.
So, my gosh. You know, it's not like there's a shortage of actors or anything, but they just, when it rains, it pours. And,
What did I see earlier this week that Tom Holland has been like in four of the all-time best selling movies?
Yeah, ever. Because history was made last week with Spider-Man. And it looks like history's going to be made this week, because it was like one of the biggest, if not the biggest, opening weekend. And then they broke it down into category superhero weekend and a weekend in July.
And for a while they were saying, well, it was just behind Avengers Endgame, but then it surpassed
that. It surpassed it. And now this weekend it looks like it's going to gross over $100 million this
weekend. The highest grossing first week in domestic box office history.
Unbelievable.
And, Tom Holland's going to take a little time off. Well deserved.
Yeah.
You know?
And then he's going to come back as Fred Astaire.
As Fred Astaire.
That blows my mind.
It really does.
Yeah.
Any reason specifically to make sure you see IMAX or any other format, or just the movie is the movie and go and have a good time?
Yeah, that's what I believe. I mean, if you can, it would be an enhanced experience, but it doesn't mean you're not going to have a good experience if you don't see it on IMAX. That goes for either Spider-Man or The Odyssey.
Speaking of enhanced experience, blatant plug light is flashing. You now have a YouTube channel to talk about?
Well, it's not so much a YouTube channel yet, but I am doing videos of the Brownie Points reviews to share those on social media, both Facebook and Instagram at the moment, and we'll expand that further, I guess. But it's just an idea to get more people involved, and it's kind of hard maybe to listen to audio reviews on social media. So I thought, well, we'll just put them out in video form and let people spend a couple of minutes and try to understand what these new movies are about and see if it's for them or not.
Do you mind if we link to those reviews on our Stephen Johnny page?
Oh, please do. That'd be
Facebook?
Great. That
yeah.
would be great. Sure.
Because you can find Ron on Instagram. He's mm-hmm. Ron_C, as in Charlie, _Brown.
And that's really his middle name. Just like Records is really Landa.
It's _C.
That's his real middle name.
You wouldn't believe me if I told you my real middle name.
Claude.
No.
Clarence.
No.
Come on, we're just Cletus.
No.
Come on, we're friends. Tell us.
Clell.
What?
See, I told you you wouldn't believe me. It's a southern name. My parents are from Kentucky.
I've never heard that. I'm from the South.
How do you spell that? With a C or a K?
C-L-E-L-L. My father's name was Ernest Clell, and I'm Ronald Clell.
Wait, C-L?
E-L-L. I believe it's short for McClellan.
Well, now that's cool.
Because General McClellan was not from Kentucky, but he ran against Abraham Lincoln. And the only state that he won in the Union when he ran against Abraham Lincoln, Kentucky. So.
Well, did you ever think about using that as your professional name? Because it's a cool name.
Clell Brown? Not really. But
No. Ron Clell.
Oh, Ronald Clell.
Yeah, Ronald Clell. That's when you go to like NPR or something.
Ronald Clell.
Yeah. You need a hoity-toity name.
All right. You're
as long
my
as
manager.
It's not his mass
You're
murderer name or something.
That's right, yes. Because, mass murderers always have a million names.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have any plans.
Leave it to Bob to look on the bright side.
Bob, it was a positive.
What's your middle name, Bob?
Alan.
Well, that's normal. A-L-L-A-N-E-N.
Yeah. A-L-A-N.
O-A-L-A-N. All right.
Family friend, apparently. I don't know.
I'm sorry.
Never met him.
Everything I wanted to say was you look just like him.
Sure.
Jonathan, your middle name?
Oh, I'm a James. I'm a Jonathan James.
That's a good one, JJ.
But I thought with Ron's, Clelly points don't go as well as Brownie points.
Yeah, not so much.
I have to agree with you there. So.
You know, it's a little hard to say Clell. There's all them L's get in the way for me.
Yeah, Clell. Yeah, it's a very, very Kentucky name.
Yeah.
And my dad is the only Clell in the family. It's not like that's a name that's been passed down. So, but there are some in the area. As a matter of fact, I've seen historically a member of the Jesse James gang was named Clell Miller.
You talk about a few
L's. So, Bob,
L's.
You may have been onto something.
See, I'm trying to tell you guys secretly, not to anger him in any way.
But I think he was the nice guy in the gang. He was the one that got along with everybody.
Yeah, right. There was always one. Yeah. Steve, you're an Anthony.
Anthony, right.
And I'm from Tennessee, so every time people say to me, is Johnny your real name? I say, yes, I'm from Tennessee, because it's not all that in common. So I'm a Johnny Gale. With a G-A-I-L. Yeah.
The voice in my head just said we should probably hit news soon.
Oh, yes.
Oh, we're having so much fun with Clell.
This is news. We're learning things.
So we will be right back after a news update here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio. There are some songs that no one should ever record again. Ever, and that's one of them.
Yep.
Stevie Winwood, Roll With It. I love that song. Good. That was number one on this date.
In 1988, this week in 1988, Roll With It was number one. And I have a feeling that this was played on the evening of August 8, 1988. I'm going to throw out a name. See if anybody here recognizes the name Harry Grossman. Does that mean anything to you, Bob? Engineer Bob, Harry Grossman. Go back 38 years. He's thinking, look, he's Eve. I can hear.
Yeah.
I can hear the wheels turning.
I had just started at NUA.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay, 38 years ago. Ron, does the name mean anything to you? Harry Grossman.
Ron is running over to the news
desk. Oh, well, I have to disqualify myself because we had a conversation before.
Oh, okay.
But do you know who Harry was?
I do believe so, yeah.
Yeah, well, go ahead. Lay it on us.
He would have probably been the person who turned the lights on.
He's the guy. 91-year-old Harry Grossman turned the lights on and shouted, "Let there be light," at Wrigley on this night 38 years ago. But then...
And we were driving back from Florida.
Yes.
And we were on Lakeshore Drive, and the weather started to get really, really horrible.
Yes. We were listening to the game. Ron, were you in Chicago 38 years ago?
No, I was not. That was in 1988. I was still in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was on that night, and we were on the drive, and we thought we were going to get by Wrigley Field because the whole world was at the game. This radio station carried the Cubs during that time, and we happened to be out of town, so we couldn't be at the game. And it was the fourth inning when heavy, heavy rain rolled through and just put everything on hold until the next night. Kind of anticlimactic when you have all this big buildup and then, whoops, we got to go home and come back and do it tomorrow.
And I don't know how many people, Jonathan, you're a Cubs fan.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize, are you aware of how much of a big deal the Cubs doing night games was?
I am, just as a researcher and student of the team, like being a fan. I know that 8-8-88 was a big day for the Cubs.
Yep.
But I know that there was a lot of pushback. Because
There was political back and forth. I mean, this was a major. It has to go to the city council.
Do we want
to
change the neighborhood?
Aldermen's. But also, like, the historic, all of Wrigley Field games being played during the day was just what everybody grew up with.
It's still the best way to see a game.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of diehard Cub fans that said, no, night games are wrong.
Let
those South Side guys do that, but we're not going to do that on the North
Side. Very traditionalist.
Yeah. And they were playing the Mets that night. And I don't recall, because that game went into the fourth inning, so that was just unofficial. That just did not even make it into the books, right?
Because it has to be 5.5 innings to be an official game.
So,
but Greg Maddux doing the slip and slide on the tarp is an iconic image from that evening.
Yes.
They did a bobblehead about that last year, and I almost went to the game just for that bobblehead.
Oh, I didn't know that. A Maddux bobblehead?
Yep, with him sliding on the tarp and water coming off the side. Pretty funny stuff.
Fun. I missed that one.
We
should try and get that. I love it.
Well, the pitcher for the Cubs for those innings was Rick Sutcliffe, and he gave up a home run to Phil Bradley. Ryan Sandberg hit a two-run homer in the bottom of the first. Things were looking kind of good. Cubs were leading 3-1 in the fourth. And then, I mean, we were not quite home when the heavens opened up and we're listening to the radio and we knew there's no way they're going to be able to save the grounds and continue with the game. And we hightailed it home and it got real ugly there for a while, but they picked up where they left off the next day and all the TV crews were there for the big night, and reporters were there.
And TV crews not only from around the country, but from around the world.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a major honking deal.
Yeah, very big deal.
Well, for years we were told as Cub fans, and some of us believed it, the reason they did not have lights for so long was because that the stadium, the roof on Wrigley Field would not support the lights, and they'd be too heavy, and it was impossible, structurally impossible. And we believed that, but then look what they did. They did it.
Yeah.
So I had heard a
story. Without putting a new roof in. So.
And look what they've done since.
Yes. Jonathan, you heard what?
I heard a story previously that they had plans to do something with lighting at Wrigley Field prior to the outbreak of World War II.
Yes.
Yep.
But then because of they need the metal for the war effort, that lighting project was scrapped.
That was another story. I believe that one too. But the two are contradict each other. If there was okay to build it in 1945, why wouldn't it be okay to build it in 1975?
I love baseball urban legends.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun.
I love baseball minutiae.
There
yes,
you go.
Yes, yes, and there's plenty of it, too. Yeah. So it was fun. I looked at my calendar today, and I went, 8888. Oh, wait, that's significant. I remember where we were.
Well, to be fair... because I wore my Sox jacket.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very significant day this year for the Sox.
Oh, yes.
Ozzie Guillen and Sox won tonight. 6-3 over the Guardians. Yes!
News, my phone was lighting up during the news with our fellow Sox friends. They were like, finally they won on Ozzie's day.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
If they didn't win tonight.
I know. It would have been ugly. Yeah.
I just Googled it, and we have another anniversary coming up, August 14th.
Mm.
That's the first night game at Comiskey Park, August 14th.
Really?
What year?
You want to guess, or do you want me to tell you?
Ooh, let me tell you. Wait a minute. First night game, Comiskey. Okay, let me think. I'm
going to say
in the
50s.
Was that under... 50s or 60s, and I'm blanking out on his name now.
Bill Veeck?
Bill Veeck, yeah.
It was earlier than the 50s.
Oh, really?
It was earlier than the 40s.
What?
Oh, wow.
August 14th, 1939.
Huh.
First night game at Comiskey Park.
Whoa.
The White Sox hosted the St. Louis Browns.
By candlelight?
The lights were powered by 8 towering electric towers housing 768 floodlights, according to Google.
That's impressive.
The White Sox won 5-2. So that anniversary is coming up August 14th. I don't know if they're going to mention anything.
Don't we have Pope Night next week where everybody's going to be wearing their miters?
It's the miter.
Yes. There's going to be like 30,000 people in the stands wearing a cardboard miter. I love that image.
Fun to be at Comiskey this year.
Yes.
No, not Comiskey. You know what I mean.
Yeah. We're fine with that. Go ahead.
Okay. Rakefield.
As long as we're getting into baseball minutia and you are Googling, who had the first lighted night baseball game?
Oh, that was the Cincinnati Reds. I don't remember what year it was. The Cincinnati Reds.
So that was a big deal then.
Because if the Sox were 39... Mm-hmm. I wonder when Cincinnati did it.
Wow, the Cubs were 80.
1935 at Cincinnati's Crosley Field.
Okay. So the Cubs were 51 years after the Sox.
It should be.
It's a night game. You sitting there with your Sox jacket.
Yeah. Your point is?
It was fun, though, because we got attention in the airport from other Sox fans.
We did.
And your jacket is black on black. It's a windbreaker, so it doesn't, like, jump out at you.
So you hit, it's kind of a sort of a grayish...
Iridescent Sox on the black, but
it's not even iridescent. It's just...
It's not flashy, because I looked at some of the jackets where on your butt it reads South Side across your backside. I'm like, that's not a good look, you know. this is my South Side, if you were wondering. This is my North Side. Look at my eyes, you know. All right. We're going to take a break. A bunch of people checking in tonight. You can do that all night long at 312-981-7200. Bunch of stuff coming up tonight. We'll talk about you if you go away. Right, Steve?
Yeah.
If you leave, we will talk about you.
That's why I'm not leaving.
Okay. Stay with us here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. If you are a country music fan, you know that is Randy Travis.
Mm-hmm.
That is the latest brand new Randy Travis release. And for those of you who are thinking, that has to be AI. No, that is not AI. This is the first of a number of things that are going to be coming out on a brand new Randy Travis album that are from the vault. Believe it or not, this, and it could have been one of his hit records.
Sure.
It was never released until now. They're going through a lot of Randy Travis stuff that has been recorded years ago before all of his health problems.
And the good thing is he's listening to his music and he's picking and choosing what he thinks should be released, which is great because he has a great difficulty speaking. He had a near fatal stroke.
Yeah.
He still pops up at the Grand Ole Opry from time to time.
In fact, on his website, there's actually a tour schedule.
He's
doing a lot of appearances.
Huh.
And so he's... and what was the... Oh, he was at... some event just within the past month or so.
It wasn't Alan Jackson's night, was it?
It might have been. He was in the audience, yeah.
Yeah.
But Randy Travis, such an identifiable
voice
and style. And for those of you that are Randy Travis fans, yeah, you're going to have a brand new album of previously unreleased. They've gone into the vault, and they are... tweaking some of the backgrounds, mm-hmm. They're tweaking some of the sound, making things just a little more palatable, depending on how vintage the stuff is that they're dealing with. But I think it's some great stuff.
He always had the best musicians with him.
Yeah.
So that I don't think needs to be tweaked at all.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I'm glad he's alive to be able to appreciate mm-hmm. the fact that there will be new fans that will come to him because he's more of a traditional sound. Country music, not so poppy. So if that's what you're looking for, if that's what you miss in country music, then along comes Randy Travis. Did you see that Garth Brooks has announced that he's going to be coming to Rosemont for a couple of nights? That's where we saw him a couple of times.
And if you can imagine that, now we saw him, it was what was then called the Rosemont Horizon.
Yes.
So if you can imagine a roughly 17,000 seat venue. And Garth Brooks, I've said this before, but it is so true. He's the only guy I've ever seen take a 17,000 seat venue and make it feel intimate.
I mean, we were in the cheap seats.
Yeah.
Nosebleed. But it was so cool because, like you say, he has a way of pulling you in.
And am I wrong? But I remember because we saw two nights in a row. Mm-hmm. One night we were lucky enough and we had the station gave us the box.
Yeah, because the station had a box there. But I had stood in line at Carson's and got $35 tickets.
That's what I was going to say.
$35.
And he mandated that they be very reasonably priced tickets.
I'll be curious to see what these tickets go for. Because things have changed, but that was the big deal. We were all paying $35 for our tickets, and you knew that they kept a certain segment in the very front of whatever the venue was empty, and then Garth would have his people go up into the cheap seats and pick people to bring down to sit in the first rows.
In fact, the night that we were in the cheap seats, we looked around behind us, and we saw some of Garth's people that were going through. And
they were taking the family behind us.
It was his family of four or five,
and
they said, come on down to
that should be us. We should be there. Because we had my mom and dad with us. And then we went back without my mom and dad, and we got to sit in the box where you have a bathroom.
But again, think about that. Making a 17,000-seat venue feel intimate, and the sound was terrific.
Yeah.
His performance, I mean, when he started swinging out over the audience, because if you've never seen Garth Brooks, oh boy, you need to.
And if you don't like country music, you need to know that apparently, it's the hottest thing out there now because on the Billboard pop charts, not the country charts, but on the pop charts, the top five songs in the country are country songs.
Yeah.
Country music, top five, not rap, not metal.
There's a couple by Ella Langley, one by Taylor Swift.
Taylor kind of sneaks in there in the middle, but I'm like, oh, okay. That particular song sounds country.
Morgan Wallen, and I forget who the fifth one is.
I do too, but the top five. And that made big news because that's just never, ever happened before.
Yeah.
So
good for them.
Yeah. Speaking of country music, makes me think of, we mentioned Alice Wallace earlier. I can't wait till we get the videos up because Alice just moved from Nashville
to Chicago.
And
I will do my best to prioritize that. Oh, that reminds me. There are so many reasons you should start subscribing to our blog. And if you're not aware of it, it's steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. We have so much stuff. Fair warning, you're probably going to get a lot of emails because over the next 7 days, we're going to be putting up a ton of things.
And you just get an email when something goes up on the site. It, for no other reason. We're not trying to bug you. We're not selling your information. So you can feel safe signing
up. And if you sign up and subscribe, it's absolutely free. We don't spam you. Just as Johnny said, anytime we put up a new post, you get an email saying there's a new post. So over the weekend, we're going to do a Patrick Crispin twofer.
Right.
Because we got backed up and we missed posting Patrick's tech notes from 2 weeks ago. So we're going to add that to what he's going to talk about tonight. So it'll be a Patrick Crispin twofer. Then we've got the Alice Wallace videos. And we've got the Empty Pockets videos. And there's a couple other things that we're working on, too. So there's going to be a bunch of stuff coming up over the next 7 days.
So sign up. And again, no one else sees your address. Yeah. Only the two of us see your address. I'm sitting here holding my hand. I hurt myself tonight.
You want to explain to the kids what you did? It's the evil pods.
Yeah, the $1,000 coffee machine. And
I have never been a fan of coffee pods, and now I have even more reason to hate them.
Well, somebody had they got a cup of coffee and the pod got stuck in the machine, and I wanted a cup of coffee, and Ron was doing the news, and I knew I only had literally minutes to get my coffee, and you have to stand there and wait for it to brew, which when you only have a couple of minutes, it gets very, very, challenging. And when it was stuck, I just, without thinking about it, shoved my hand into the machine. And I was able to flick the pods that were jammed, but then when I went to pull my hand.
So it wasn't just one, it was a couple of them that were jammed?
It was more than a couple, I think.
It was a pod backup.
It was a pod backup, exactly. And then when I went to pull my hand out, it was stuck. And so I had to pull my hand out, and now my hand is.
So Johnny is sitting here
holding
with
hand.
The pod machine on her hand because she couldn't pull her hand out.
I dragged that $1,000 pod machine into the studio with me because, dang
That's
it,
why she sounded a little out of breath.
I'm going to do this show. You get no coffee. It was weird, though, because I felt, okay, I don't have a phone on me. You guys are in a soundproof studio. My hand is caught in the machine. No one will know I'm here until you go on the air and you go, oh, something's missing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, move on. And I'll still be back there with my hand stuck in the machine. So I got my hand out. I ran down the hall to the restroom so I could run my hand under some water. And the door closed behind me and I was locked out. So.
And you didn't have your key card with you.
I didn't have my key card, but thankfully, and I knew that Bob was in the studio with you, so I couldn't call the engineering department, so I was able to call Jonathan. And
you're welcome, everybody. I'm happy to present you.
Thank you. So I got another hand, so I'll be okay tonight.
Okay.
I got two. So
okay.
One good one.
But watch out for the pod, people.
Yes.
We will take a break. After the break, we're going to talk with Jessica Radloff.
Yes, it's been forever.
And a showbiz update
and
a whole lot more, so stay with us. But the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I can never hear that without just seeing all of the credits and everything from the beginning of the show. But that means we are about to talk with one of our favorite people, New York Times bestselling author, host of the official Big Bang Theory podcast on HBO Max, and author of the upcoming book about young Sheldon called, I love this title, Young Sheldon, The Juicier Than Meemaw's Brisket Inside Story of the Hit Comedy.
She's the one and only Jessica Radloff. Jessica!
Hi, guys. I've missed you so much.
Well, you have been so darn busy, girl.
You know, you could say that. I also just have to shout out to my dad, Stuart Radloff, because he came up with the subhead of the new Young Sheldon.
Did
book,
he?
The Juicier. He did, because, you know, if anybody has been a fan of reading oral histories for TV series or whatever, you know, they're all called, like, the definitive oral history, the definitive inside story of this. And I was like, oh, I'd love something that feels different. and my dad, after, like, a lot of brainstorming, my dad came up with this kind of as a joke. And my publisher, which is Grand Central Publishing, an imprint of Hachette, my editor loved it. And they were like, this is great. What's so funny, though, is that somebody the other day was like, there's a Young Sheldon cookbook coming out. And I'm like, oh, no. Now, I'm like, I don't need people to think this is a cookbook with a brisket recipe in it. Like, you will find out about the brisket in the book. But I'm like, no. This is not a Young Sheldon cookbook. Like,
I love this title so much. And one of the many reasons I like it is because if you're looking for a book about a particular topic, something like this says, okay, this author really knows about this.
Yes, and this is fun, too. And Jessica, I did the math. 74 days from today, your book will be in people's hands. So not that you're counting. I'm counting for you. October 20th.
Johnny, that's impressive. I did not know that. I knew we were down to about 2.5 months, but I did not know the exact date. So that is very impressive.
Well, a little backstory. We met Jessica back in 22. I think it was October of 22 when your first book hit the streets, The Big Bang Theory, the definitive inside story of the epic hit series. And we just fell in love with Jessica because, as I say, she's a bundle of energy. She's everywhere, all over California. In fact, didn't we see you on Access Hollywood as a hostess this summer?
Yeah, I got to co-host for a few episodes with Kit Hoover, who is amazing. Mario Lopez was filming a upcoming holiday movie, and they asked me to fill in and co-host with Kit, and that was just such a dream to do. I mean, I just loved every minute of it, and she's so phenomenal, and it was great. It was a lot of fun, and I got to eat on camera, which is something I've always wanted to do, because I'm like, you know what? I want to see what it's like to really eat. Like, are people really going to eat? I'm like, yeah, give me the pizza. Come on. Let's do it.
And it was okay? It wasn't like fake pizza just to look good on television?
No, it was great. And then they took it away, and then I never saw it again. I was very disappointed because I would have taken that home. I'm like, food is expensive. I would have taken home that pizza, and it disappeared.
But, you never want to take away pizza after just one piece.
That's right.
Is cruel and inhuman punishment.
Yes. You know, I think Mario Lopez was in Chicago for the Christmas Chicago Bears movie that's being filmed, which is crazy because, you know, it's been like 110 in the shade in Chicago, and they were wearing parkas in downtown Chicago for the movie.
And they were shooting
That's how it always is, isn't it?
Yeah.
They were shooting it during that horrible hot spell.
Oh, it was crazy. It was cruel. It really was. Well, you've been staying very, very busy since
I have to ask, is the new book going to be as big as the big, because for those of you who don't know, and you need to get the Big Bang Theory book.
The definitive.
It is like, okay, I'm going to date myself. You remember phone books? But it is packed full with all kinds of wonderful information.
It's also dangerous if you try to read it in bed, because if you nod off and it falls in your face, you're out for a different
surgery.
Reason.
Surgery. Yes. So, you guys are comedians. I love it.
How many languages has the definitive inside story of the epic hit series been published in?
The Big Bang, I want to say, maybe 10?
Really?
I know it's been translated in Portuguese, in German, in Russian, in Hebrew. I know I'm forgetting some countries right now. It's really cool. And I don't have the German edition yet, so I need to go to Germany.
So
usually they send it to you, but I never got the German edition, so I'm going to have to make a trip to Germany now.
So is that show, The Big Bang Theory, worldwide, like the most popular American sitcom that's being seen?
I don't know if it's the most popular American sitcom, but it's certainly one of the most popular American sitcoms. Maybe Friends tops it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's definitely up there, and the same with Young Sheldon too, which is why there's a book. Because I think I might have said this to you, Johnny, in an email. The plan was never to write an oral history on Young Sheldon. I did not think that was going to be my second book, and it was a true surprise because, yes, it was so popular when it was on CBS because it was the number one show. But it really wasn't until it went to Netflix, and also people started making TikTok shorts of it. And when it went to Netflix, it was in the top 10 for over 3 months, and it dethroned, like, all these other shows, like Bluey and Grey's Anatomy and Sex and the City, and it just was out of control, and that's when it kind of pierced the zeitgeist in a way that it hadn't before. You know, it was always popular, it was always the number one show, but people just aren't watching broadcast the same way as they were when Big Bang was on the air. So once we saw the popularity really, you know, just kind of come through because of Netflix and TikTok, that's when we realized, okay, there's really an audience here, but it wasn't the plan.
I'm going to segue just a little bit, but I want to spin off of the point you just made. Do you have any idea from the conversations you've had with producers and other people, why does broadcast TV not get the audience now that Netflix and some other sources do? Because it really doesn't matter. You're DVRing whatever the source is and watching it as you choose to. So why does it matter if it's broadcast, Netflix, whatever? It's on your DVR. Who cares?
Right. And it shouldn't. I think, you know, there's so many reasons why people started migrating over to streaming, part of which was the binge model was so, you know, attractive to viewers who just didn't want to wait another week. And now, of course, you're seeing a detraction from that where you're, you know, Apple and Hulu or, you know, different platforms, Paramount Plus, they're rolling out their shows once a week again. And, you know, so it's really interesting. And, you know, of course, too, like, you could also be more open with dialogue and, you know, the way people spoke, things you couldn't get away with on broadcast, you do it on streaming. And then also being able to access all these old TV shows and movies, that was another draw. But yeah, it is crazy. And broadcast is still doing very well. It's not dead by any means. But, you know, it is so true that the way that we're consuming television, it's just so different than it was, you know, 5 years ago, you know.
Well,
let's not forget 10 years ago, like crazy.
Have you experienced someone will say to you, are you watching fill in the blanks, the name of a show? And you say, I've never even heard of that. And they go, oh, well, I'm on season 3 or 4. And I go, what? And I try to stay up on this, but there's so much that's out there that never makes it even to broadcast television.
Yeah. Very rarely do you get that kind of show. I think, you know, Love Story, the, you know, the story of John F. Kennedy Jr. and Carolyn Bessette, that was a big one that kind of pierced the zeitgeist and everybody was watching it. Same with Heated Rivalry and Off Campus. And, you know, so those kinds of shows, it's really nice. I think we've also seen it lately with Widow's Bay on Apple, you know, or like Dutton Ranch or The Madison on Paramount Plus. It's really interesting to see what shows do become a cumulative viewing experience, but it's rare to find that now because you have so many more options and people are just watching it all at different times.
Yeah.
I recall a conversation we had with one of our guests a little later in the show, Dr. Patrick Crispin. We were talking with him about computers, and this was at least a decade ago. And he said, at some point, you're just going to have one screen and everything you want to watch will show up on that screen. It won't matter what it is.
And we said, ha ha, that'll never happen. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens.
I know. It's crazy. It really is crazy. I mean, listen, I hope people still read books by the time the Young Sheldon book comes out. Like, I'm like, are people reading? What's happening here? You know, because it is scary how much has changed and, you know, just, people are getting their information, their news on TikTok and Instagram, and, you know, I get it, but you got to be very careful with it.
Yeah.
We just came back from Pasadena, and while we were in the Burbank airport, I noticed one person reading a newspaper.
Yeah. And you pointed her out. She's reading the LA Times. Where did she get that newspaper? Yeah. Because in our hotel, They looked at us like, no, we don't carry newspapers here. And I thought, what? Back in the day, they would just be outside your door, you know, in whatever hotel you were in. Jessica Radloff is our guest. Jessica, hang on. We're going to take a quick break and come right back. Jessica is the author of two wonderful books. I know the second one is going to be great. Her first one is a bestseller, and her new one that's coming out in 74 days is Young Sheldon, the juicier than Meemaw's brisket inside story of the hit comedy. More with Jessica coming up here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking with one of our favorite people, Jessica Radloff, a New York Times bestselling author, host of the official Big Bang Theory podcast on HBO Max, and author of the upcoming book about young Sheldon called Young Sheldon, the Juicier Than Meemaw's Brisket Inside Story of the Hit Comedy. I love that title.
And a book that has been deemed one of the most anticipated books for fall of 2026. I bet that gave you a pinch me moment, didn't it, Jessica?
That was really, really nice. And I'm so grateful for you guys, too, for anybody that talks about it and gets it on people's radar, because, I'm so proud of this book. And, you know, I couldn't be more grateful to the cast. And, you know, I don't know if you guys were big fans of the show or not.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
It really, Steve, you asked me this earlier, was... you know, is the book as big as the Big Bang book? It was not supposed to be. And then, you know, I got to talking with everybody and uncovered things that floored me. And this book turned out to be, I think, around, let me look. I have the galley in front of me. It's around 450 pages.
Wow.
I love it.
It is about 75 pages shorter than the Big Bang Theory book.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, you got to work on that 75 pages.
I know. So maybe it won't hurt as badly if you drop it on your face in the middle of the night. It was supposed to be like not maybe two-thirds of what the Big Bang book was, or half of it, and, you know, all these things. And then you start talking to people and they start telling you things and you're like, oh, boy.
This got to go in the book.
I don't know how to cut this.
Well, for the benefit of people who are not here, and we always talk about them when they don't show up for the show, but if they did not hear our previous conversations, let's go back to how it is that you became associated with the Big Bang Theory, so much so that the cast members have been really amazing about sharing everything with you about the show and their own personal lives. How did all that come about?
It's the question that I always get asked, because people are like, how did this happen? And I'm like, yeah, I know. I wonder that myself. And, you know, the thing is, and I think this can be applied to life in general, is you have to just be open to things that you never thought were going to be. I never thought I would be going down this path. I never thought I would be writing books about these shows. When Big Bang first premiered, I saw the first episode. I was like, okay, it's cute. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch it because it just felt, I don't know if this is for me, it's four guys that are obsessed with comic books and, you know, things that I'm not as interested in. And, you know, so I just didn't watch it. And then I got to know the cast because they were nominated for a lot of awards. And at the time I had just started at Glamour magazine, and I had gotten to know them. And we realized that the readers were obsessed with Big Bang. So it was like, okay, I know them well. I'll start, you know, interviewing them and writing about the series. And that's kind of how that relationship came about. And, you know, it was very organic. And then even when the series went off the air, I'd never planned to write a book. It was a fluke that there was a literary agent that was interested in pursuing an oral history about this. And I was recommended to him. And I tried to find every which way to say, hell no. And, you know, it became something that the producers were really into. And then I got into it, and it was a success. And because of that, Warner Brothers was interested in a Big Bang podcast. And I'll be honest, with Young Sheldon, you know, I had watched it. I always thought it was a great show, but I didn't appreciate it as much as I appreciate it now. And part of that was just because I didn't have time to invest in it, since I was working so much on the Big Bang book and other things. now, having gone back and rewatched every episode and done this deep dive, this show was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't do a book on anything if I didn't truly feel like it is worthy of this kind of treatment. And the more I dug into this series, it, you know, it's a travesty, honestly, in pop culture terms, that it did not get any Emmys, because it's truly phenomenal.
Agreed.
And I think if it was on a streamer, to be honest, I think it would have.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, people still kind of write off network. And I think that's also why it was such a success on Netflix and HBO Max.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's I've tried to make it short. So I got into that world. And you know, and it just goes to show you, you know, just be open, be nice to everybody, you know, treat people the way you would like to be treated, and, you know, never have ulterior motives, never, you know, just be open. And that's how so many opportunities have come about. So it's been one of the greatest gifts, and I owe everything to Chuck Lorre and Steve Holland and Steve Molaro, because without their support, there would be no book or podcast.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm curious, and I don't want you to say anything out of school, but because of your approach and the wonderful relationship you have with the producers, the actors, in the course of your interviews, have there ever been times when you're all really relaxed and you're talking about whatever, and someone tells you something, and later as you're going over your notes or you're recording, do you call them up and do you say, are you sure you want me to print that?
Because they're so relaxed.
Oh, there's an interesting laugh. I want to hear the rest of the story behind that laugh.
It is. It's a very, very good question. And that does happen frequently. And it's so hard because you do forget sometimes. And there's a lot of times, too, you know, with this book, you know, somebody would say, like, this is off the record. There was actually a few stories where it was originally off the record, and then somebody decided, you know what, okay, I'm ready to open up about this, and we'll go on the record about it. But that does happen, where more so I will see something, and I'm like, this is pretty raw and revealing. And, you know, yes, as a journalist, and yes, as somebody that, let's be honest, I want to sell books, you know, you want those stories, but I feel also such a deep sense of protecting people and helping them be aware of what they're saying, because, you know, nobody knew when they were doing these shows, oh, there's going to be a book one day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to go into everything. And, you know, think about it. There's a chapter in the Young Sheldon book about, the whole book is the behind the scenes of it, but there's one chapter that really goes deep behind the scenes. And I say, you know, we hold TV series to a different standard, because in no other workplace would we be touting that we're all family, because that's just not how it works. Now, you guys are different. You're married.
Mm-hmm.
So you really are family. But it's very rare to be in a workplace where you consider your colleagues your family. Mm-hmm. And yet that's all we want to hear from the cast of our favorite TV shows.
That's
true. We want to know that they're family.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. Most families don't get along. So it is very funny to me. And I would always say, you know, you shouldn't say we're family. You should just say, like, I love them so much, I would actually go to LAX to pick them up. That's how you know you
love
them.
That's huge, yes.
That covers it.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, there were times that they would say something and I would be like, are you sure about this?
Mm-hmm.
Because this might read differently in print to you versus talking it out. And, you know, so I will work with them on it. And very rarely has that ever happened where someone says something on the record and then is like, oh, I'd rather not.
Yeah.
But if there's hesitation, I do work with them on it.
Yeah.
Because I do think there's a lot of story. There's even, you know, it's funny, Regan Rebord, who played Missy on Young Sheldon, also plays Missy now in a guest starring role in Georgie and Mandy's First Marriage. Regan opens up a great deal in the book about struggling with PMOS, which was called PCOS. polycystic ovarian syndrome, opening up how difficult that was.
Can I hold you on that point? We'll come right back to that. We have to break for news, and I want to hear the rest of that, but we have to break for news right now.
Jessica Radloff is our guest, and we'll get right back with her after news update here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, talking with one of our favorite people, Jessica Radloff, best-selling author, New York Times best-selling author, host of the official Big Bang Theory podcast on HBO Max, and author of the upcoming book about young Sheldon called Young Sheldon, the Juicier Than Meemaw's Brisket Inside Story of the Hit Comedy.
That sounds like a horror book.
I know. But you know what? People won't think it's a cookbook as long as we get them confused.
I realize we got to stop playing the Big Bang theme music before we come back from commercial. We got to go to why am I forgetting the name of the theme song? Anyway, we got to go to the Young Sheldon theme song next time.
That's right. Yeah.
So we were just talking about
Regan Rivard.
Regan Rivard.
And how she had opened up to you in your discussion. And she appears to be somewhat of an open book anyway, but she was was this as a result of an accident that she was in that left her with PTSD, as I recall, and what else was going on?
There was an accident, and by the way, Reagan is non-binary and goes by they them, so so just to avoid confusion when I say that's why. But Reagan, yes, there was a car accident that they went through in the final season, and that, you know, we talk a little bit about that in the book. But you know, they also went through, as all the kids did, you know, you go through puberty on screen. It's really tough. And, you know, especially when you have PCOS, now called PMOS, I have it as well. It's really hard. Your body will fluctuate in terms of its weight all the time. And imagine going through that on TV. And
can I pause you for a second for a jargon alert?
PMOS.
Can you explain what that means?
Yes. So I just had to Google this because they just changed this year. It was PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome. But most people that have PCOS, now PMOS, don't have ovarian cysts. And that's why they changed the name to PMOS. Which is polyendocrine metabolic ovarian syndrome.
Oh,
wow.
I haven't memorized it yet, to be honest. I haven't, but basically it is a hormonal and metabolic disorder. Mm-hmm. Sometimes kind of the opposite of diabetes, where your body almost makes too much insulin and then doesn't recognize it. It's also one of the leading causes of infertility. It can cause weight gain, and it can cause, you know, all sorts of these hormonal imbalances, and until you get it figured out, it's really stressful. And Reagan was so appreciative of them because they opened up, you know, they said, you can go back and watch Young Sheldon and you'll see episodes where I was a lot heavier because I wasn't getting diagnosed correctly and I didn't want to leave the house. And then we started dressing Missy in baggier clothes. And, you know, so the way that they go into this in the book, I was so appreciative because I really think this will help so many people that are, no matter the age, no matter your gender, like, this is going to help people who feel like they're going through something like this alone. And it's really something. Montana Jordan, who plays Georgie now in Georgie and Mandy 2, he opens up a lot about becoming a dad when he was 21 and, you know, finding out that his, you know, now wife was pregnant and how that kind of mirrored what we saw on the show. And, you know, these are sensitive topics and they went there. And it always makes me concerned, go back to your question, Steve, about like, oh God, are they going to read this and be like, what did I say?
Yeah.
But I really do try to be open and to work with them and, you know, say like, okay, let's figure this out. And again, I'm so grateful that they trust me to handle it delicately because, you know, that's not lost on me that they're telling their stories and I better handle that with such great care.
Yeah.
Hearing this about Reagan makes me even more impressed because watching the show, Reagan's timing always knocked me out. Yeah. I thought it was so good.
She was so young. She was just, she had what it, I mean, she was holding her own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so much so. And that's, you know, you got to give credit too to the amazing directors on the show and the showrunner. And, you know, because this was single camera and it's not easy. And they, you know, you've got to hit the timing always when you're, even when you're not on camera, because they have to switch sides and all that to do it. And, you know, so everybody worked really hard together to make this show as snappy and as clever and funny as it was. And that's why, like, I was like, my God, I really wish I would have appreciated it more when it was on the air, because this show is frankly brilliant. And it just didn't get the respect it deserved.
And there were some wonderful emotional moments with the father and just some terrific.
Well, I have to ask you, because listeners want to know this too. Now that you have the second book in hand, and we will have it in 74 days, do you see a Georgie and Mandy book in your future?
Come on. Funny people joke about that with me. They're like, so Georgie and Mandy is next, right? And,
right.
You know, I'm like, listen, after the first book, I said I was probably one and done. Now after this book, I'm like, I might be two and done. I don't know. You know, I really think you can only do books like this to get the honest, true behind the scenes look when the show is over. So,
and this,
who knows what's in store, but I want Georgie and Mandy to run for a very long time.
Me
so
too.
I hope I'm not writing that book for quite a long time. That's something, because I want it to be on the air. But you know, speaking of Chicago and your great city, you know who's going to be in town this weekend? Because there is this Chicago Fan Expo that's happening.
Yeah.
In downtown of Chicago, is Reagan is coming, Lance Barber, who played George Sr., and Zoe Perry, who played Mary. The three of them are going to be there at this big convention, and Lance, actually, a lot of the cast is recording the audiobook for me, which is amazing.
Wow.
And Lance is going to bring the book with him. It's not for sale, the actual book. You can't take it home with you yet. You can pre-order it, and he's going to bring a QR code with him and, you know, all that. So I'm really, I wish I could be there with everybody.
Yeah.
I would have loved that. But, it should be fun. And so they're all three going to be in your lovely city.
Well, that's so cool.
This weekend.
Yeah.
But
we're
getting a lot of text, people saying, okay, now you piqued my interest. How do I pre-order? Where do I go? What do I do?
Thank you. So if you follow me on my socials, I have the link in bio to everything. But the easiest way to do it is just Google Young Sheldon oral history, Young Sheldon book, you know, coming up and stuff. You can pre-order it on Amazon. You can go to BarnesandNoble.com. I think it's BN.com. You can pre-order it there. You can pre-order it on Target's website, on Walmart's website, any independent bookstores. So pre-orders mean everything, because it helps determine the level of interest for, you know, bookstores to know. And so the pre-orders are everything, and the audiobook is going to be pretty epic now, because the Big Bang cast did not record their own audio for the audiobook for Big Bang, but the Young Sheldon cast is. And to hear Montana Jordan speak with that accent, or Zoe Perry, it is pretty amazing.
That
and
is
Matt
cool.
Hottie, who played Pastor Jeff, like,
he's
doing it too. And, you know, so they're going to read their own stuff, and it's pretty damn cool, I got to say.
To
hear them do this and share their stories, because they're, like, it's just so funny. And Lance did it yesterday, and it was great, and it was hilarious. So I can't wait to hear it personally. I didn't buy the Big Bang audiobook. I'm sent, you know, the publisher sends me copies of the actual hardcover, but I'd have to buy the audiobook if I wanted, and I never did, even though I did record the narration for it. But I'm like, oh hell, I'm buying this audiobook now, because I want to listen to all these actors record their stuff now. So I'm very excited about this.
Oh, and what great timing, just in time for the holidays, because it's coming up late October, and you're all set for the holidays. Jessica, hold on. We're going to take a quick break and come right back. And got to find out, a listener wants to know about the newest spinoff of Big Bang, the Stewart Fails to Save the Universe show, to see if Jessica has tuned into that one. Jessica Radloff is our guest here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman are talking with Jessica Radloff, who is now programming radio station. See, Jessica, you ask, we deliver.
Yes.
You guys are amazing. And you know what's so funny is that I went to take the laundry out of the dryer just now, and I'm like, my cue to come back is when I hear the Big Bang music, and then also I'm like, oh, no, wrong, new music, gotta keep.
Yes.
That's my cue.
Now, wait a minute. I'm going to pause you on that. I love this. So while you're doing the interview,
you're doing your laundry.
Yes.
She's not at a laundromat. This is in her home, Steve. So.
Oh, I think next time you need to do it at a laundromat.
In a laundromat.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
An L.A. laundromat? Yeah, I can imagine.
That's and you have to have the cast of Young Sheldon in the laundromat with you.
Wait,
oh my God.
We have to get to Jason's question, because he not only loves your first book, he can't wait for the second book, but he wants to know, has Jessica tuned in to Stewart Fails to Save the Universe, the sci-fi spinoff of The Big Bang, starring Kevin Sussman, right?
Yes, starring the amazing, nicest guy in the business, Kevin Sussman. And great, like Brian Posehn and John Ross Bowie and Lauren Lapkus and... You know, just great actors that, you know, it's so nice to see them get a starring role like this. They deserve it.
Well, what do you think of the show?
You know, I think the show is so clever, and it is so great, and it's
different.
Execution. Yes, it's very different. I mean, I will be very honest with you. The reason I fell in love with Big Bang was because of the heart and the relationships among the characters.
Yes.
I can't tell you much about Star Trek. I've seen the three original Star Wars. I've never seen the other movies. I don't know the DC versus Marvel world.
Mm-hmm.
And please don't hate me, people. But the reason I love the relationships and I loved the dynamics mm-hmm. of people, it's one of the reasons I loved Young Sheldon. I don't think that Stewart Fails to Save the Universe, it's not my typical interest because that alternate reality and, you know, things, I don't understand that world.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the actors, and I love to see who's popping up every week. I know who's still going to pop up. So I like watching it for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I'm not the typical audience that, that's what the show is for.
See, this is why you need to come to Chicago. I will teach you the difference between the DC and Marvel Universe. Trust me.
But I have to, I relate because, we had the option of recording the Stewart Fails to Save the Universe. And I'm watching it. And I said, well, I like those people so much in their original roles that this kind of takes me away from that. It's like knowing people and that they've changed so dramatically. I just didn't warm up to it. So I hope it's successful, because I'm really happy that they've got a gig. That's huge.
Oh, absolutely. And the show has already been doing very well with, you know, in terms of minutes viewed and people really love it. I just think, you know, and I do think it's a great show. It's just not the kind of genre I'm drawn to.
Agreed.
And that's okay too. That means nothing against it. It's
mm-hmm.
just, I'm not somebody that goes for movies like The Hunger Games or,
mm-hmm.
you know, the fantasy side. Like, that's just not for me. So, but I think it's really well done, and I think, and that's why people that do love that genre are just so in love with this series, and I think that's fantastic.
Jessica, you're going to love this little piece of minutia.
Tell me.
There you are, 2 hours earlier than we are, so it's going on 9 o'clock, but we got you on the air, 8 o'clock your time. A listener points out.
Oh, I love this. I just saw this text.
That Sheldon always scheduled his laundry at 8 o'clock on Saturday night.
Stop it.
So how appropriate that Jessica Radloff does her laundry at 8 o'clock on Saturday night.
So Sheldon is deep into your subconscious.
I thought she was just being efficient.
Yes, nope.
You that don't. Is so, I, see, this is what scares me sometimes, is people will say things, and I'm like, oh, crap, why don't I know this, or why don't I remember this? And it's
that's okay.
More wrapped up in the individual and personal lives and the behind-the-scenes dynamic of these shows that sometimes I'm like, I don't remember what actually
I don't want to
on the show, but I'll tell you everything you want to know behind the scenes about.
Okay, I don't want to put you on the spot, but a listener says, could you please ask Jessica what Penny's daughter or son's name is? Do we know?
We don't know.
I didn't think so.
They have not revealed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good.
We don't know the answer to that. Yeah, there's some things we talk about in the book about Penny, in the new Young Sheldon book about Penny and Leonard. Because there were questions like, why did we hear a reference to Penny in Young Sheldon, the finale, but Leonard wasn't mentioned? What happened to Leonard? You know, all these things. So we do get answers to that and stuff. But yeah, their kid's or kid name has not been revealed. We just know that Sheldon and Amy's son is named Leonard after both Leonard Nimoy and Leonard Hofstadter. I don't think, as far as I'm aware, we know the name of their daughter. If someone points out that we do, then I'm going to be real embarrassed.
Right. Don't worry. We're not going to embarrass you. But in the final few minutes we have to chat, Jessica, I have to ask you to take off your Big Bang hat, because there's a show that we're just absolutely wild about. And I know you watch many, many other shows because you're very involved in doing a number of different symposiums and interview segments with folks. Did you get caught up in Memory of a Killer with Patrick Dempsey? Have you watched that?
No, I didn't. I did not. I'm not good at the killer shows and the true crime.
No. Just watch it for him.
And because this is so, it looks like it could be on the big screen.
Yes.
It is directed and acted and presented like a big screen movie. It is so well done.
Unlike my desire to binge watch a show, I cannot watch more than one episode of that. Not because it's, you know, so over the top and violent, but because he's so good. I just get so pulled into it that whatever he's feeling, Patrick Dempsey is brilliant in this.
He is so dreamy, which is why he had the nickname he did. Also, I love his wife. His wife is Jillian Dempsey, by the way, and she doesn't know I'm about to say this. She is a makeup artist, and she is so, I love her, so good. She has the best under-eye patches I have ever tried. If anybody is looking for the best under-eye patches to make your eyes look more awake and brightened and everything else, these eye patches, they're not cheap, but my God, they are so good that I would just walk around in them all day if I could.
By Jillian Dempsey.
Jillian Dempsey. Her whole line is great. And
I'm going to look
at her on Instagram. She shares a lot of behind the scenes with her and Patrick, and it's really sweet. And
I'll do that.
They're both dreamy.
If you need
eye patches, both ladies and guys, these are fantastic eye patches from Jillian Dempsey.
Well, I'm just happy for him because I loved him in Grey's Anatomy, and then to see him as a guy who's allowing himself to look like he's 50-something. You know, he's got the salt and pepper in his hair.
One of the marks I've always thought of a good actor is it doesn't look like they're acting. And he is so good. But I have to warn you, A, you should watch an episode. B, after every time we watch it, we have to go to HGTV and watch a House Hunters or something to
just get it out of my mind.
Get in a different frame of mind.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, do you know what I've been watching lately in between? Because I'm doing two panels next weekend for Shrinking and Widow's Bay. So I've been just, you know, rewatching those so I'm all refreshed. But Pluto TV, which is the free streaming app that's owned by Paramount, they have so many great shows that aren't on streaming, other streaming sites that are on Pluto, and they have every episode of The Love Boat. Now, I was not alive when the original Love Boat aired, but let me tell you something. In this crazy world that we're in, I'm finding such comfort in watching these episodes of The Love Boat.
Yep. I hear you,
okay,
girl.
The conversation just turned ugly.
I wasn't alive when the original episodes of Love Boat aired.
We watched it when it originally aired, and
I hope you've enjoyed Jessica's last conversation with us.
No. I hope that you will pencil this into your calendar for October, either the Saturday before the book is out or the Saturday after the book. I've got mine on order, so we've got to talk in October when it hits the shelves. Okay.
Thank you. And I can't say enough about how grateful I am to both of you. You're so fun to talk to. You're so good at what you do. Oh. And thank you for being such supporters of mine, because I really need parents to come through and buy this book for their kids for the holidays, because I'm like, you want your kids to read. So this is the perfect book for them to read. There's a lot there, and there's a lot of photos, and I love it, but thank you for being the best cheerleader.
Well, we got a break for news, but just before we do, the key question, which do you do first, blacks or whites?
I really just do tops, and I separate the top from the bottom, and I use a color catcher, Steve, so that it doesn't bleed.
Okay.
Thank you, Jessica.
Your work here is done.
You're speaking a foreign language to my husband, but that's okay. Thank you, Jessica. We love you, and good things are happening. So we want to be along for the ride. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good night.
She is so much fun.
She is.
I know we're late for
news. She's a hardworking woman.
But the news is now next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And you can file this part of the show under Partly Personal.
Mm-hmm.
We posted on some of our social media pages some very sad news that we got earlier this week, that Guitar Works up in Evanston, that has been an Evanston institution for 47 years, is going to close.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big deal. And for those of you listening around the country, why is it a big deal? Well, this Guitar Works was more than a guitar store. It was a family of sorts. If you went there, you became a member of the Guitar Works family. Terry Straker, the owner of Guitar Works, and we just had dinner with Terry last night, and it has been a part of his life for many, many years.
Almost 50 years, yeah.
We first discovered Terry, and I'm trying to think of what year this was, because Guitar Works opened 47 years ago, but it must have been somewhere in the late, just before 2000, because 2000 is when the store moved to its new location.
We were going to the old location, though, on the corner of Main Street, and then he moved and expanded middle of the block on Main Street, and we were going to be doing an appearance with Bob Collins, and it was mid-80s. And you were going to be playing guitar at that appearance. And so you wanted to get your guitar cleaned up and restrung, and you did not want to go to just anywhere, and ended up in Evanston on Main Street at Guitar Works.
And the very first time that I went in, and I knew nothing about Terry. He didn't know anything about us. We didn't walk in saying we're from the radio station or anything.
Yeah,
I just brought in my prize guitar, which is a 1959 Gibson ES-355, and guitar geeks will know what I'm talking about. And right off the bat, Terry told me, I'll fix this while you're here. don't leave this with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why? I mean, I knew it was a vintage guitar. But he said, because you will leave this guitar, you will come back to get it, and your pickups will look shiny, and someone will tell you, oh, well, I just cleaned up your pickups for you. He said, no, they will have taken the pickups out, mm-hmm. because the pickups are worth a ton of money because they were original patent applied for pickups, which makes a huge deal if you're a guitar collector. So I knew I was dealing with an honest guy.
Because he said, don't leave.
Yeah. He said,
I'll leave your guitar and don't leave.
Yeah. And that was just Terry's mindset.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, years later, Jerry Garcia from the Grateful Dead brought in, or some of his people brought in, Jerry's Wolf guitar. Anybody who knows anything about the Grateful Dead, this Wolf guitar is worth about $1 million. And Terry said, you're not leaving this guitar here with me. I will go back with you. I'll get my stuff. I'll go back to the hotel. I will do whatever work you need done
in front
of Jerry, so he can see I'm not doing anything to mess with his guitar.
Yeah. Yeah. I went to him when Les Paul was coming to town, and he was going to be doing our radio show. And I thought, well, this is the greatest opportunity for me to surprise you with a Les Paul guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to buy a guitar for another person.
Yep.
I knew that going into it, but I figured, okay, I will get you a guitar and have Les sign it. And if it doesn't speak to you, at least you'll have a wonderful souvenir of his visit to the studio. And Terry helped me choose between the black one and the white one. And did I want this one? And then he said, here's how you have him sign it and bring it back to me, and I will treat it so that it doesn't rub off. And sure enough, remember, I got the gold pin, mm-hmm. for Les to sign the back of the guitar. But instead of signing the whole back of your guitar, he signed a small plate. It's about 6x6. And when you take that plate off, you can get into some of the electronics of the guitar. But Les signed it on that plate because he said, someday if you don't like me anymore, you can just take it off and replace it. And I said, oh, you're kidding me. He goes, no, I feel very strongly about that. And then they took it up to Terry, and then he shellacked it or whatever so that it wouldn't, mm-hmm. rub off. But everybody got a good laugh out of the fact that Les wrote on that little tiny square, in case you didn't like him in the future, you could change it out.
And as Johnny said, it is so hard to buy a guitar for someone else. I'm not just saying this because she bought this guitar for me. It's perfect. It's the guitar I would have picked out.
Yeah.
It's a 1996 Les Paul Custom.
But I think because you'd been going to the shop so often, Terry knew what your tastes were too, so he knew how to direct me in to an area that he felt you would probably end up loving. And so that worked out beautifully. And as we had dinner with him last night, him and his wife Megan, he said one of the things that's just been overwhelming this week, now that word was out that the shop was going to be closing at the end of the month, was the fact that people are coming in sharing their memories, sharing, mm-hmm. the first time they came in, the first guitar that they bought, the lessons that they took of the shop. And he is Terry from Guitar Works. It all went together. And he said it's been really emotional because people are emotional when they come and they realize that their shop is closing.
Well, can I read, this is an email that Terry sent out to, as he called it, the Guitar Works family. This is what Terry said. He said, first off, let me say what a privilege it has been to be Terry from Guitar Works for so many decades. I will always have stellar memories of all of you incredible people that I've gotten to know over the years. You've given me a wonderful life and enabled me to raise my family here on the North Shore. And you have also supported the lives and families of all of my employees as well. And I thank you for that. We thank you for that. But everything eventually changes, and that time has come for Guitar Works. It is with great sadness that I tell you that I will be permanently closing Guitar Works store as of September 1st, 2026. The Guitar Works Reverb store will continue for the first 2 weeks of September. The store has not been profitable for some time, and has never really recovered from the COVID era downturn. And the change in consumers' buying habits started in the COVID era. Additionally, the outrageously increased cost of property taxes, recent import tariffs, raising costs on many of the guitars and accessories we offer for sale, and many other circumstances have all come together and has made keeping Guitar Works open and available to serve you an impossible task. So for the entire month of August, there will be a Guitar Works going out of business sale. And he talks about some of the incredible prices. So really, Guitar Works is still open.
Yeah.
And if you want to get some incredible prices on really good instruments.
And if you have a gift card or if you have a store credit, you need to come in and use it, because the shop will be closing up at the end of the month of August.
And I don't want to embarrass Terry, but I'm going to share this anyway. Terry talks about how things changed after COVID. Since roughly COVID, Terry hasn't taken a salary because he wanted to make sure that his employees got paid. That's the kind of guy we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's the kind of business, family business, this is. And this was not like your guitar centers or your major guitar stores. This is, for the moment still, a mom-and-pop store where the musicians go.
Mm-hmm. That was part of the fun. I used to love to go and sit in the window off in the corner and just eyeball the people that are coming and going and say, oh, I know that. I recognize that face.
That's where we first met Eddie the Chief Clearwater.
Yeah, yeah.
When James Burton was in town, he was, I think it was from one of the Elvis shows, and he had some problems with the guitar. He went to Guitar Works.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Clapton had some problems, needed some equipment, went to Guitar Works. The Rolling Stones needed some equipment. They went to Guitar Works. Chet Atkins sent Terry a congratulatory letter when he was opening up his new store, and Terry worked on Chet Atkins' guitars.
Mm-hmm. And one of Terry's employees was
Jethro Burns of Homer and Jethro.
Jethro Burns, no longer an entertainer, living in Evanston, and was in the store. And next thing you know, he's one of the employees.
And for a long time, we used to do several times a year something we called our Vintage Guitar Nights.
Wonderful nights.
And Terry and Bill Takatsuki, who is Terry's electronic tech, who also Bill Takatsuki and his wife Jenny, they designed our Life After Dark album cover. But they would be in the studio, and they would be answering questions for people who would call up saying, I've got this or that guitar, what do you think it's worth? I will never forget the night we got a call from a woman. She said that she had this guitar. It was her son's guitar. Her son, sadly, was killed in the Gulf War.
No, Vietnam.
Vietnam
yes.
War.
She had not taken the guitar out from under the bed that he slipped under the bed.
Right.
He bought it for himself before he went to war, slipped it under the bed. She had not taken it out. She heard Terry on the show. She took it out and told us what it was. It still had hang tags on it.
It was one of the original Fender Stratocasters.
And
Terry, the first thing he did, it was he said, can we get your number off the air? He said, don't sell it, because I guess people had offered her a couple $100.
She just mentioned it in passing.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah, I'll take that off your hands. And she's, well, no, I'm kind of attached to it. It was my son's.
Terry made sure that she didn't sell it. He helped facilitate an auction. She wound up selling that guitar for $40,000 and paid off her mortgage.
That was really powerful. It made it into the guitar magazines, the whole story about how really this was a case of a unicorn under the bed with a hang tags on it. And a bidding war broke out. I mean, it was hot property.
Oh, it was serious.
And he knew right away that if this fell into the wrong hands, this woman would be taken advantage of.
Sure.
And it was just a great story. One of many.
We were, I'll never forget the night you mentioned Les Paul. And we were able to take Terry and Bill Takatsuki with us to Les Paul's homecoming performance up in Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Yep.
That was such a fun night. We were also at Terry's daughter's wedding. I mean, Terry has been a longtime friend. I know we're babbling, I'm babbling, because this is a big honking deal, both in terms of an iconic business for Evanston and a really good guy who has done everything he possibly can to keep his family business going and to treat his customers fairly, really, really fairly.
Yeah. And he mentions that not only tariffs and not only COVID and the changes in the way consumers buy things had the effect on the survival of the store. But remember, not too long ago, the property tax bill that came in that was $80,000. $80,000. This is a little brick building on Main Street in Evanston.
709 Main Street in Evanston.
Holy smokes. Insanity. Now you got to hire an attorney so that you can fight something like that. And yes, there was reason to fight it because, yeah, that's a busy neighborhood and that's hot property, but it's a little crazy. And we obviously were more than happy to welcome him onto the show. But after spending the evening with him last night, we realized that this has been just a really tough week for him.
And he was candid. He said, you know, I would love to.
It's just too hard.
I'm just spiritually
and
emotionally spent right now.
Yeah.
It's possible we may get Terry to join us near the end of August, near the last day for Guitar Works. But so I'll do a blatant plug. Yes, for the rest of the month of August, 709 Main Street, Evanston, 847-475-0855.
Off the top of your head.
I don't have to look up the number.
Yeah.
Now, Terry was only in town for this past week.
Mm-hmm.
But when you call up, you can ask for Larry or Tim. Connor is the guy who is doing the guitar repairs. It's a great crew. And if you're looking to buy a guitar for someone,
or if you did and you want to stop by and just say, "Hey, thanks."
Yeah. Okay. We'll take a break. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Just had to play a little more guitar music.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had some people texting and saying, okay, so where is Guitar Works? It's 709 Main Street in Evanston, 847-475-0855. And they're only open for a few more weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That's great to hear, Dwayne Eddy. You had a furrowed brow while we were playing Dwayne. What was furrowing your brow?
Yeah, that's my usual look.
Oh, okay.
I thought we were going someplace else. I got confused. I didn't, my map, I spilled something on my map for the show. And
you mean you lost the very detailed?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm still confused. I'm so confused.
Okay.
I thought we were doing the thing you were hushing me up about. That's
oh, no.
Why, oh,
oh, no.
Okay.
No, that's, no. Now, his name is not Dwayne Eddy.
This is true. Can I just give a shout out to Jim in Richmond? And I need to explain something for Jim's benefit, because Jim is very upset that I did not mention him tonight when I did the shout outs. But you all need to understand that maybe this is no excuse, But there's only one of me on this side looking at the texts that are coming in, and there are a lot of texts. So if you send me a text telling me where you're listening from, but you follow that text with multiple texts, I don't see your original
text. The first text gets buried.
It gets lost. So I do not know to go back. So, Jim, it's not personal. Really, buddy, I'm not out to forget you every week.
That's kind of like the thing that I've... we may have to talk with Patrick Crispin about it again.
Oh,
this drives me absolutely nuts.
Gmail.
Well, not a Gmail and several other email programs.
Well, I only have Gmail then.
If Jonathan emails me and the subject line is Johnny's cooking, okay, that's the first email. I reply to Jonathan. Jonathan replies to me. I reply to John. They don't come through as separate emails. It's a thread.
I actually had a back and forth with someone who I thought was ignoring my emails. Mm-hmm. And he wrote back and said, well, no, actually, on August, and he gives me the date, and I had to go back and look at the thread, and I wrote, and I said, I'm sorry, and I wasn't being bitchy about it. I just said, hey, I didn't know what you were interested, that you didn't respond to me. Yeah, I did, but it got lost in the thread.
And we have found that if we have an ongoing conversation with whoever... We now rarely reply. We start a completely different email, so it will pop up. Yes. So we'll see, oh, here's this new thing, rather than something buried down in the threads.
I was booking a guest a couple of weeks ago, and I went back and I looked at our thread. Mm-hmm. It was 9 back and forths. That gets crazy after a while. So if you also deal with that frustration... Then.
And it's different on the desktop than it is on the laptop than it is on the phone.
Yes.
And speaking of that, don't get me started on the difference with Facebook Meta from the desktop to the phone. Yeah. We have looked at things in our own Facebook accounts that show up differently on our phone, on my phone, from Johnny's phone, from our desktop, from our laptop.
In fact, we have, even as we speak, we have a webmaster working on a new website for us and specifically said, this has to play nicely on phones.
Yeah.
Apple and Android.
It has to be compatible.
Yes. Because you'll be sitting at the desktop and you'll say something to me and I say, I don't see that. I'm looking at my phone. I don't have that.
And literally, Johnny will be in the kitchen. I'll be in our office and I'm just emailing. No, I don't see that. What the? And it's Meta. Meta has so many things now. Yeah, really. And how many times both on Meta... As long as we're haranguing and we haven't even gotten into the main computer stuff tonight, and boy, is there some stuff you need to pay attention to, especially if you have a car. Mm-hmm. I know this is not car night, but there is an, oh boy, do you need to pay attention. Anyhow, where was I going with this? This is the...
you lost your map, too.
I did. But Meta and Gmail now are trying to say... Oh, this email that Johnny just sent you, let me give you this AI translation or this AI summary. No, let me read the damn email.
So I clicked on that the other day to see what kind of synopsis or summary. It was not good.
I know.
If I had relied on that, there were key points that were overlooked in that, quote, summary.
Yeah, summarize this.
Sleep over there. Sit down. Shut up, right? And I'm talking to, I don't know.
Meta.
Yeah, that's right. Mr. Meta.
Just quit trying.
You're talking to AI and the horse that it rode in on?
Sing it. Yes.
Can I just say that this came in while I was doing the shout-outs?
You can say anything you want. It's your show.
just because I love the way this looks in front of me, Zeke from Zenda, Wisconsin is listening.
Cool.
Does that not flow well? Zeke from Zenda. I love it. By the way, I also...
And if he dated Zendaya.
Well, that would be quite the alliterative relationship.
And they went to see Zorro. But they were watching it on Zoom.
Gadzooks! Stop it! I think there have been a couple of weeks that I said, I love this name, Penny Scaletta.
Yeah.
Because it's spelled like penne, like the pasta. Penne right. Scaletta. Right. I'm like, that's the best name. That's a movie star name. So Penne from Frankfurt, thank you for tuning in tonight.
Okay, we're going to break for news, and yes, we're going to come back with Patrick.
Yes.
You are going to want to be listening.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention as we start talking with Pat. There is a specific, you want to pay attention.
But we're also going to recap some of the high points from our past week in Pasadena. News is next here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Now, if you were paying attention, boys and girls, you know that we said going into the news that we were going to be talking with our computer guru, Dr. Patrick Christman. So why, you are asking yourself, why would they have played
Shake a Tail Feather?
Well, let me begin the story this way. As you know, we just returned from a journey to the left coast to spend some time with our grandson, Patrick, and his posse.
No, that was
our grandson, Joseph and his posse. And now I got confused. So there we are. We're hanging out with Joseph. And after dinner one night, Patrick says, "You want to go for a ride? You want to pick it up from there, Patrick?"
Yeah, apparently to the east of Pasadena is a town of Arcadia. Arcadia has been around for a very long time. And a guy named Lucky Baldwin had a house there and a whole bunch of money, and he built the Santa Anita racetrack. And he had this giant plot of land, and he said, "You know what? I'm going to get a bunch of peacocks." And the peacocks have been there for about 150 years, and they are now throughout all the neighborhoods of Arcadia, California. So after dinner one night, we got in the car and just went peacocking. And literally, you're driving through the neighborhood, and there are peacocks
everywhere.
On houses, in the street, attacking you in your car.
And several tried to attack us.
I still hear, "Close the window, close the window."
But explain this to me, because if I understand correctly, so the peacocks are all around the neighborhood, but then at night they go back to the Arboretum?
Los Angeles Arboretum.
Yeah.
The Arboretum is Lucky Baldwin's old property. You don't know the name, but his house that he had there, you've seen it if you watched Fantasy Island. Queen Anne.
Oh, is that
That's the house.
Wow.
It's Lucky Baldwin's house.
But there we are, and we did this several nights in a row.
Couple nights in a row.
Yes.
We went peacock hunting, and we're driving around, and the Shake a Tail Feather. Johnny, you want to pick up the Shake a Tail? Because we're coming down this street,
and
we're coming to a driveway, and in the driveway, we look up.
And again, a little bit of background. The peahen, the female, God bless them, they're ugly. They're drab, they're brown, they're pitiful looking.
Yep.
What was God thinking when he made the female birds? Just, they blend in with the trees. They're just so plain. And there was one standing in the driveway. Car was parked in the driveway. There was the peahen. But up by the front door of this house, suddenly we
see... Blocking the door so the people who live there couldn't get out.
We see the opening of the tail feathers. And then we see Mr. Big Guy turn around so that she only sees his backside. And then the performance starts. He starts shaking that butt. I mean, it was just going, and he's squawking, and she's got her back like, "I am not interested."
Yeah.
Yep, no.
It was hysterical.
And I mean, he's, you know, shake it, baby. He said, you want some of this? And she's saying, like, no. I don't think so.
No, I'm so pretty good.
I'm going to be posting the picture of the backside of a peacock. And what you're looking at is the mating ritual of peacocks right there.
And him shaking the tail feather in the driveway.
Yes. But of course, 10-year-old Joseph is with us in the car, and
he's having fun.
We need to play Shake a Tail Feather, which we did.
But then Patrick starts taunting some of the peacocks who start running toward the car, and Patrick is challenging.
Well, there was one peacock the one peacock was like coming. It was like, I'm rolling down the window. Come at me, bro.
He did, literally.
It was the most entertaining time, because at first when you pull out, well, where are they tonight? Maybe we're too late. Maybe they've gone back to the Arboretum. And then all of a sudden, no, there's the big guy on the rooftop.
But what I really didn't understand, and I'm being very serious with this, we came across this one house, and there was the female peacock with her babies. Now, I didn't know that babies, because they appeared to be very young, I didn't know they could fly, but they would have had to get
to
this neighborhood from the Arboretum. Yeah.
But as it was pointed out, when we came around the corner and we saw a bunch of little peahens running around in a yard, that the guy on the other block has been very busy.
Yeah.
He's been very busy shaking that tail feather.
And that's probably why the
wanted no part of it.
No, been there, done that, and I got the babies to prove it, so no.
But thank you for just a really enjoyable time. And then I found myself reading everything I could read about the peacocks of Arcadia, California. And apparently, they were originally brought in not only because they were cool creatures from India, but they were used as pest control for snakes and snails that were apparently all over Arcadia, California. And, snails.
And that's another thing we're going to be doing a blog post about. We're going to do, Johnny's going to post a couple pictures on Facebook.
I just did.
But we're going to be doing a whole blog with some of the additional pictures, including the sign as you come into Arcadia where it says, do not feed
the fowl.
What do they call them?
Peafowl. Yes.
Because there's like a $500 fine if you're caught feeding a peacock.
Who would want to? I mean, yeah. I know geese are, but I have a feeling people are walking their dogs, though. Maybe that's the key. You have to have a dog.
Just walking around. Yeah.
You have to have a dog.
Okay, now that we've solved all your computer problems.
Yes.
Exactly.
We have a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's take a break, and we'll come back, and you put back your Dr. Patrick Crispin hat on. Take off your dad hat and chauffeur hat, because that's what he did. He was driving us all around. And we're going to get down to some tech stuff with Patrick after this on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin, the Director of Educational Technology at Keck School of Medicine of USC. And I'm just for a second, I'm going to tie in tech and peacocks. So Johnny just posted on Facebook some pictures of the peacocks. And you can go to facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show to see them. And Johnny wanted to edit something. She wanted to edit the spelling of the word squawk. Facebook won't let her get back on and edit. And I've noticed this is a thing that Facebook is, it started happening within, I want to say, the past month or so.
Yeah. It's like, nope, it's there. Leave it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It was great to be in your presence because you informed us about so many things that made my head want to explode. Let us start with one. That
in fact, should we say, because he said he was listening, so pardon me for a second. Attention, Tom Appel. Attention, Tom Appel. Turn up your radio. Turn up your radio.
So this is a story about a car alarm that you happen to have on one of your vehicles, right, Patrick?
I do indeed. There is a car security system called CARR, K-A-R-R. It's a security system that doesn't come from the manufacturer. It's something that the dealers install really when the car hits the lot. And before you even set foot on the lot, this K-A-R-R alarm, car alarm, is already installed in your car. And then the dealers try to basically say, well, you've got this extra alarm and it's like clear coat. They applied it at the factory. You need to pay extra for it and whatever. And here's what's going on. Even if you don't pay for this, the dealership doesn't remove it. It stays there. So when we bought our CRV from Honda of Pasadena, it had this alarm on it. I said, I don't want this. They left it on. And by UCSD, University of California, San Diego, found this vulnerability in it. And they figure about half of the owners out there either don't have this enabled or don't even know it's there. And my case, I know it's there. I know this K-A-R-R car security system is on my car. I never asked for it. I didn't want it. I never used it, and I can't get rid of it. Mm-hmm. So the way the system works is it uses Bluetooth to unlock your car's doors. And I think that's actually the big reason why the car dealerships do this is while you're on the lot, they can unlock the car using their phones instead of having to run back to the key box and get a new key. You can use it to turn your car's alarm on and off. You can honk your horn and flash the lights and even disable the car's ignition. Here's the thing that's scary. University of California, San Diego researchers actually discovered that every single K-A-R-R car security device uses the exact same secret authentication key. What that means is that if you have access to that key, you have access to every car that has the K-A-R-R car security system. They actually were able to check this out. They found the code and built an app and went around UCSD starting unlocking cars and honking horns and everything like that. So they're not going to release the app that allows people to do it, but the bad guys know about it. It was to actually talked at Black Hat in Las Vegas this past week. But here's the thing. Anybody who has this secret key who's within Bluetooth range of your car can take it over. No physical key, no smashed window, no tripped alarm. Turning your car off doesn't protect you. The Bluetooth stays active. It doesn't allow them to steal your car. It doesn't allow them to start your engine, but they can unlock your car, get into the car, and then using another tool that is widely available, then steal your car and do it. But this little key doesn't allow them to do that. How big is this issue? Well, UCSD researchers Yibo Wei used something called the Wiggle Radio Signal Database, which is basically this open source database where people are tracking signals all over the place. They estimate that there are over 2 million vehicles out there with this K-A-R-R security system in it. In other words, there are now 2 million vehicles out there that could be compromised, that somebody could get into those vehicles without doing anything other than knowing the secret key. The biggest concentration is in Los Angeles and actually in Southern California, but anywhere a car is sold or resold, and we actually saw a map that shows a lot of these cars are in Illinois
in the Chicago area.
And it's really, really, really scary. How do you know if your car alarm, by the way, this is where it gets really confusing. It's not a car alarm. It's a car alarm, K-A-R-R. Look for a blue sticker on your door that says K-A-R-R. You might see it if you got a car from the Southwest. It's SWTDS. It's at Southwest Dealer Services. You can also check under your dash near the driver's side. You might see a small button with a blinking light, or you can contact your dealer. Now, here's where the thing gets really confusing. How can you fix this? How can you make sure that the bad guys can't break into your car if you have one of these K-A-R-R alarms? Well, if you have paid for this, when you open up the car app, it will say, hey, there's a new update, firmware update, you need to do it. But for the million or so cars that don't have this or haven't actually paid for this or said, I don't want this, but it don't know it's still on their car, you are supposed to be able to still download the car app. And by the way, that just makes me uncomfortable. If this company can't
secure their key. I don't want their app on my phone, but okay, fine. You download the Car app, K-A-R-R app, connect to your car's Bluetooth, click on customer service and click on firmware update. I know technology. I'm pretty decent in technology. I mean, I do show on the radio and pretend that I know what I'm talking about. I tried this twice. I couldn't get it to work, which means that anybody, any bad guy in Southern California who wants to break into my car right now can. I don't know how to fix this other than going to Honda Pasadena and saying, fix this or remove this because this isn't my fault. And a lot of people don't know about this. It's not being covered in the media. And I only know about this because I follow the tech news. But there are going to be millions of people out there who don't know that I have this K-A-R-R alarm on my car and somebody can break into my car and take everything.
Can I?
By the way, can you just go ahead?
That's what I want to ask. Can I go to my mechanic and say, take this off my car? Can I do it myself?
You can't just rip this thing out because remember, this is a whole bunch of different wires that connects into your ignition and your lights and your doors. So you rip this thing out, you have basically turned your car into a brick.
Yeah.
So your dealership has actually hurt your car. And I don't know if there's a way to fix this. One UCSD researcher, and I've said this and I kind of agree, this is probably the worst car hacking threat in history. Because it hits a massive number of cars, 2 million cars. The actual car manufacturers can't fix it because the car manufacturers didn't install this. This was installed by the dealers. And most owners, they have no idea that their car can be stolen or, well, broken into without them knowing it and without any alarm going off. It is so scary.
Now, Patrick, next week we're going to have Tom Appel on talking about cars. And we're going to revisit this with Tom.
Yes.
And in the interim, we're going to try and contact Tom and see if he can get any feel from any automotive manufacturers of what their take is on any options you would have.
They're not doing it, though.
Which is why we're going to talk to Tom and see if he has any updated information. Now, watching
this
video,
is a dealership issue.
Yeah.
Watching that video was scary because it was almost about a half hour video and just seeing these guys driving through parking lots and just testing. And there would be 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, I think close to 100
cars
in this one parking lot. It's just scary. We're not trying to scare you, but we're trying to scare you.
Make you aware.
And again, it's K-A-R-R. Not C-A-R. K-A-R-R. This is a big deal.
I think there was one example in the video where the woman locks her car. She goes in the house, and they said, look, she's not going to hear that her car is being compromised. If she happened to look out, she'd see her headlights come on.
And didn't it take less than 3 minutes for them to steal her car?
Yeah, because remember, he unlocked the car immediately using this security key and then using a locksmith tool, which everybody knows about if you're in the car thieves, apparently. He took about another 2 minutes for him to actually use the electronic ignition and start the car and drive it away.
And again, no damage to the car. That's the key.
No.
So if they're going to steal this car and then sell it, they don't have to replace a window. They don't have to replace a steering wheel or an ignition, any of that stuff. It's going to look pristine when it's being driven away.
And again,
pretty much,
you didn't ask to have this put on your car.
So when are you going to take it back to your dealership and say, all right, because I said to you, why isn't there a class action suit saying make this go away? Because if my car was stolen because of this, I'd be really ticked off.
I think there's going to be, California tends to get litigation happy, and I have a dealership visit this week.
Oh, good, good.
Can you follow up with us, and can you ask the service people at the dealership, is there any information they have that we could share with our listeners to get this taken care of.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So digest that. We're going to take a break for news, and we'll come back with Dr. Patrick Crispin talking tech. We do this twice a month, and we always have a lot of ground to cover. Don't worry. If you don't remember all of this, it will all be posted in the notes from the show. More coming up here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin. Jonathan, what is that? I love it.
That was the Hot Toddies with their song HTML.
Oh, yeah. That's a keeper.
Off of the album Smell the Mitten.
Oh! Okay.
All right. We are talking tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin. By the way, if you're not writing stuff down, don't worry. It will appear on our blog. In fact, within the next, sometime Sunday, you are going to get a Patrick Crispin tech twofer.
Mm-hmm.
Because 2 weeks ago, we had Patrick on, and we were just busy and doing other things and didn't get around to posting the tech notes from 2 weeks ago.
But there was good stuff.
It was some very good stuff. Yeah. So that will be posted along with tonight's tech notes.
Patrick, before we move on, Deanna and a couple of other listeners want to know if the KARR alarm systems are on new cars, or for example, her car is 14 years old. She said, would I have it on my car on a 14-year-old vehicle?
It depends on where you got your 14-year-old vehicle. If you bought it 14 years ago, probably not. If you bought it within the last 8-10 years, maybe.
Especially if you bought it from a dealership, right?
Bought it from a dealership. Yeah. For example, I bought my CRV used from Honda of Pasadena. They installed it on the used car.
Hmm. Okay. So that kind of answers the question, because I was assuming it would be on cars, like new cars, but that's not the case at all.
No, it's basically any car on the lot, because again, the whole selling point for this one is it cuts down on people breaking into car dealerships and stealing cars off the lots.
Mm-hmm.
But it also gives the person who's walking around selling cars the opportunity to, on their phone, unlock any car on the lot without having to go back to the key box.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to have it on every car in the lot, which means new and used.
And if you choose to activate it, you are paying a fee to that dealership for that
activation.
You pay
a fee to the dealership, yeah. And mm-hmm. you pay a fee to car. Actually, Accruent, I think, is a company behind car.
Hmm.
So again, I want to emphasize, this is not a case of the dealership coming to you and say, hey, do you want us to install this? It's already on your car. And even if you say, no, I don't want it, okay.
They just leave it.
You don't have to pay for it, but it's still there.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. We spent a number of wonderful days at our favorite hotel in Pasadena. But you said, you know, you have to be careful about the Wi-Fi in hotels. And I said, in our hotel? And you said, no, but. So that's one of the stories tonight, right? The Microsoft is warning that hackers are targeting hotel Wi-Fi.
And conference center Wi-Fi. ABC 7 ran this story on Monday, and basically Microsoft is warning that Russian state-sponsored hacking groups have been hacking hotel and conference center Wi-Fis basically since May. The idea is they want to plant malware and steal logins from business travelers. They're calling, Microsoft is calling this captive crunch because, you know, why not? The way it works is that the Russians break into the network gear at the hotel or conference center and then basically take over what is called a captive portal. If you've ever been to like a Starbucks or a hotel or a conference center and you connect to the Wi-Fi and there's a little page that says, I agree, or I promise not to do anything. Or if you're in a hotel, it asks you for your name and your hotel room number.
Mm-hmm.
That's a captive portal. And they've been taking over those captive portal pages and then going and redirecting the traffic so that it goes and maybe gives you a fake Windows update screen or a fake antivirus scan or maybe a fake network troubleshooting tool or some sort of fake browser update. By the way, this affects everything that connects to the Wi-Fi in a hotel or conference center. So that's a PC or a Mac, an iPhone, or an Android device, anything you connect to the Wi-Fi is actually possibly vulnerable to this.
Mm-hmm.
How can you protect yourself? Well, first, anytime you're connecting to any hotel, conference, or airport, count the Wi-Fi as being untrusted. That doesn't mean you can't use it. Just don't trust it. And if you start getting pop-up messages, you got to think that every pop-up message that you get when you're connected to those networks is just completely fake and not real.
And let me jump in here and say that most most laptop computers give you the option when you're signing into a new Wi-Fi, is this your home computer?
Yep.
That you have options to say, no, it's not my home computer and it's not really a trusted source. So you have that option on your computer as you're signing in.
There are a few extra ways you can do that. The other thing, my recommendation is almost everybody has a cell phone with them, and most modern cell phones allow you to do phone hotspotting. And my experience has been my phone is always faster than the hotel. Mm-hmm. And I know it's going to be safer because nobody's hacked into that yet. So if you have a home hotspot or a phone hotspot, or an eSIM in your phone, it's usually a lot faster and a lot safer. Use that instead. If you have to connect to a hotel, conference, or airport and use their Wi-Fi, if you get a pop-up message that says, oh, you've got to do a software update or do a driver fax or some sort of verification tool, fake, run away, stop, don't do it, click it out, get out of it. Real updates don't come from pop-up windows like that. They usually come through the operating system, not through a login page on the Wi-Fi. And we talked about the click fix thing where it says, okay, oh, but you had to verify you're human by going and opening up going to run and then opening up a terminal and then copying and pasting this text. Don't ever do that. Never, mm-hmm. ever, ever do that. That's called the click fix problem. Don't do it. It's fake. My thing is just, you know, bring your own Wi-Fi.
Well,
bring your own phone.
You said use your phone hotspot or, and this is a jargon alert, an eSIM. That's ESIM. What is that?
Basically, inside of your phone, we used to have these physical SIM cards.
Right.
And you would use this little paper clip to eject it. And when you traveled overseas, you can go and stick in a new SIM card that you bought or rented.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
eSIM is basically an electronic version of that. So instead of you having to stick a paper clip into your phone, most modern phones today allow you to have multiple SIMs, mm-hmm. basically electronic SIMs. So you could actually have an account through, say, T-Mobile, which comes with your phone. You have the eSIM that's already built into it. You could, through your cable company, I know my cable company desperately wants me to use their SIM card, have an electronic SIM so you can go connect through their network if you wanted to. I honestly use the one that's in your phone already. I don't need to buy a second one. But if you go overseas, you can then purchase an electronic SIM overseas and use that overseas.
Hmm. That's really interesting. So the key is you are going to be vulnerable if you decide you're going to use. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that they're the bad guys, because the hotel's probably oblivious to this.
They have
because,
no idea.
Yeah, the bad guys are out there looking for places where they can tap into and take advantage of. And I would imagine conferences are hugely vulnerable.
Oh, sure. Business conferences.
Now, we don't know how widespread this is. It might be one out of every 1,000 hotels or conference centers, but mm-hmm. who knows, and why run the risk?
Absolutely.
Just be aware when you're connecting to a public Wi-Fi, you're running a risk.
Yeah. Okay. A lot more coming up. Talkin' Tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin here on WGN.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin. And Patrick, before we move on, the 847 area code text that mirrors a question I had, going back to what we were talking about, being concerned when you're in a hotel and you're going to use your phone. If you're using your phone
as a hotspot,
are you using your phone's data? And will
yes.
Okay. So is that going to impact the speed, depending on, like, if you have Verizon or whatever, or does it depend on your carrier or what?
It depends on your data, how much data your phone is allowed to use each month. As long as you're underneath the cap, you shouldn't have any problems. But it should actually be faster than hotel Wi-Fi. My experience at hotel Wi-Fi is that, you know, it's 5 megabits, maybe 10 megabits, if that, and it's not very fast.
on my T-Mobile phone, I'm getting 90, 100 megabits. So it's a very fast connection on my phone. Again, I'm going to burn through my data plan, so I want to make sure I don't use a whole bunch of data. But if I'm only traveling a little bit, you know, it's not going to be an issue.
So are there specific settings on your phone that would say, that you would say, okay, I want to share this, I want to use this as a hotspot, and then you tell the your laptop, okay, connect to this hotspot?
Yeah, it's actually built into the Android and iOS. You just basically go into hotspot and you make your device, your phone discoverable as a wireless hotspot. And then you connect your, as if you were connecting to Wi-Fi on your mobile, on your laptop, you connect instead of to the hotel Wi-Fi, you connect to your phone and then you're browsing the internet.
Cool. We've never actually done that, but we should do that.
Oh, it's great.
We will do it from now on.
Yeah, I should have been doing that in the hotel. All right, Microsoft has some other news to share. Publisher?
Yeah, I've got two things that are going away. Kind of put them all both together. If you've used Microsoft Publisher to make brochures, newsletters, and business cards, I've got bad news for you. It's going away. If you got Microsoft 365, you have until October 1st to take all your existing .pub files and convert them, because after October 1st, Publisher no longer opens for you. Now, if you have the older versions of Publisher, the standalone versions, Publisher 2021, 2019, 2016, 2013, 2010, those keep working. The support's going to end on October 13th. What that means is you're not going to get any more updates. But if you have the standalone versions of Publisher, those will keep working. If you have the Microsoft 365 version of Publisher, it absolutely stops working. If you have any .pub files sitting around, convert them before October 1st. I'll put links in the show notes of how to do it. Basically, you'll convert them into PDFs or convert them into Word files. If you got a lot of files, Microsoft actually has a PowerShell script can do it. And honestly, the reason why they're getting rid of the Publisher is you don't need it anymore. Most everybody's using either PowerPoint or Word. And those who really hate Microsoft are using Canva, canva.com to make stuff. So go there instead.
They are doing heavy advertising. At least in my feed, I'm hearing, I keep seeing these meetings where people are saying, why are you doing that when you should be using Canva?
Using Canva.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
It's a competitor. The other thing is, and this Steve wanted me to talk about this, if you have ever talked to your Android phone, asked it a question, you've used something called Google Assistant. You might not know if it's called Google Assistant, but that's sort of the voice helper baked into all Android phones for the last decade or so, actually since about 2016. So what you do is you say, hey, I'm not going to say the word. Let's just spell it out. Hey, G-O-O-G-L-E. If I say, hey, you know,
my phone will wake up.
Your phone's going to wake up, and I don't want to do that. So, hey, G-O-O-G-L-E. Or you can push, I think, the power button. You long press the power button. And then talk to your phone and say, hey, can you set an alarm or look this thing up or whatever. Now, hey, G-O-O-G-L-E, isn't going away. Nothing's changing that way. The trigger phrase, the button, the whole way you talk to your Android phone, that's going to stay the same. What's going to change is the engine underneath hey, G-O-O-G-L-E. So Google Assistant is what's running that right now. As of September 5th, Google Gemini, which is Google's AI tool, is going to start listening and doing the responding instead. So it's the same doorway, just a different brain behind it. So starting September 4th, Google's going to begin removing Google Assistant access and switching you over to Google Gemini. This is going to take a few weeks, so don't be surprised if on the 4th nothing changes, but it will come. But once you are moved from Google Assistant to Google Gemini, there's no going back. You can't toggle this or opt out. And it's coming if you have anything that has Android on it. Phones, tablets, Wear OS smartwatches, Gemini compatible, headphones, Android Auto. It's coming. You're going to be using Google Gemini instead of Google Assistant. I got to be honest. I switched all of my Google Home speakers over to Gemini a while back. I can't tell the difference. I literally can't tell the difference. The only difference is I can have longer conversations, but I don't because I never need to. I go, hey, G-O-O-G-L-E, set an alarm for 7 a.m. or I, hey, G-O-O-G-L-E, broadcast. And I tell my son, hey, it's bedtime. That's about it. I've had a couple things in it that might not carry over, but just a heads up. It's in the show notes if you want to find out about it. If you want to switch beforehand, I also have instructions on how to do it now. If not, just wait until September 4th or a few days after, and they'll switch it over for you.
I'm not big on Gemini yet. Maybe my experience hasn't been great, and I kind of like my...
Gemini keeps wanting to tell us what's in our emails.
Yeah. And I actually liked saying, you know, hey, G-O-O-G-L-E. It's worked for me all these years because it's been around for a long time, hasn't it?
And it'll still be there. It's not going anywhere. It's been around for...
It's going to be Gemini.
The Gemini is going to be powering instead of Google Assistant. Talking about Gmail, I added to the show notes right before we came on. I was listening earlier. I've given instructions on how to turn off automatic threading in Gmail.
God bless you.
I was listening.
You're going to be in my will, honestly, because I know... You were probably listening, rolling your eyes, but it is frustrating because I missed a very important exchange with someone because it was buried in this 14
in its conversation
post. Yes.
View.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm curious how similar I'm looking at the instructions. How similar are those instructions to other email clients like Thunderbird that also do the same thing?
It really depends, and I'll try to find those and add those in the weeks to come. But you were talking about Gmail. So really in Gmail, it's super simple. If you want to turn off, by the way, when we're talking about this is conversation view where it takes all of the emails related together and puts them in a thread. You can turn that off if you want to. But by the way, once it's disabled, every single individual email becomes its own individual email.
Good.
So
you could be slammed.
If you want to turn it off, you can go in and go to gmail.com, click on the gear icon, top right-hand corner, and that actually takes you immediately into the quick settings window. Scroll down to the bottom, and there's the last thing on the bottom is conversation view. Just uncheck it. That's it.
Yay.
There's also a way for you to do this over the Gmail app. I put it in the, basically it's hamburger, the hamburger menu. By the way, the hamburger menu is the three horizontal lines. And then go to settings. That's what we call it. It's the hamburger menu.
Of course.
Go to settings and then you select your account and you can toggle it off there. I'm not going to do that, but if you want to, you absolutely can.
Let me ask you to repeat this. If I do this tonight, and I don't like the fact that I'm getting slammed with extra email.
You can go back to the settings and change.
You should be able to do it. I'm not sure how good it's going to be to take the things that are already in your inbox and put them back in the threads, but it will start threading things going forward.
Okay. See, now a week ago, I would have said, well, I'm not going to do that. But after the experience I had this past week, I'm like, I'm going to do that first thing in the morning.
We had one business thing that was going on.
That got lost.
It literally got lost.
Yeah.
I lose things in threads a lot in Outlook.
Well, good. You're making me feel better because I look at Steve and I say, this is making me nuts. I answered a question for a listener and I said, maybe we could pick up on this the next time you're on the show. Windows 10, he said, is it true that they're extending the support? And I know we use Windows 10 and it's until October of 2027. Is that correct, Patrick? Is that what you hear?
I believe so. I need to double check on that. But that's kind of what I'm hearing. I want to double check with the folks up in Redmond just to make sure that they're not going to pop a surprise at us.
But maybe we could put that on our notes for 2 weeks from now that we can just repeat that because it'll be, you know, if in fact it's around till 2027, then that's great.
And I still owe you a back to school on computer,
computers
to get.
That's right. Okay. So
we've
got the show plan for the next time you're on the program.
And also, Joseph owes us a picture of him flying his new
simulator thingy.
Thank you for that. But you guys are like, I cannot believe you bought that for him. In Microsoft Flight Simulator, you can buy these airplanes. And so you've got this app. And then there are companies that will sell like just airplanes, and it's hyper realistic airplanes. It's the cockpit and the controls and everything. And some of them are like five, 10, and then there are a couple of like $80, $90, and you guys bought him like a $90 airplane.
That's what grandparents are for. That's what we're for.
Oh man.
And he was happy, but we want to see a picture of him at least enjoying it for more than a minute and a half. Does it look like
doing
it? Is it quality? Does it?
Oh, very, very good. Oh, yeah. Good, highly quality. I mean, for $90, you're going to get an amazing airplane.
Okay. That's good. Well, thank you, Patrick. Show notes will be posted as always. We really appreciate that. And listeners love your show notes. So thanks a bunch. Yay. Talk to you soon.
Say hi to the peacocks.
Bye.
I shall. Bye.
And again, this week you're getting a Patrick Show Notes twofer. Okay. More coming up. Stay with us. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Okay. We teased you earlier. We said that we just might play a brand new song by a member of the WGN Radio Walk of Fame. That's what we're going to do. But a little bit of explanation is in order. Those of you who have been hanging around for a while, you know the name Spike Odell.
Right. The pride of East Moline, Illinois, the one and only William Spike Odell, who joined this radio station a few years after us. He came here in 1987.
And Spike is, along with being a wonderful broadcaster, he is one of the most scarily, if scarily is a word, naturally talented people I've ever encountered.
I've always said he's the definition of a Renaissance man, because he just, I want to do this, and he does it.
He decided he wanted to learn how to paint. Yeah. Within a week, he's painting, wonderful stuff.
Yeah, he's a great watercolor painter.
He decided he wanted to learn keyboards. Within a week, he's not only playing great stuff, but recording great stuff and writing original compositions. He's always had an affinity for being creative. He, same thing with playing guitar. He wanted to do that.
Yeah. He's really kind of funny, because I think sometimes he thinks the rest of us people can do those things the way he does. Because it's just like, well, yeah, I wanted to cook. So he got under that kick. Remember when he was...
Yeah.
He was making these elaborate meals, and then he became a grill master, and was just, stop, we're not worthy.
The only thing that I've been surprised at with his affinity for music, he doesn't want to sing himself.
Right. And I suspect he could. He's very active on his Facebook page, and I guess it was just yesterday.
Yeah.
He posted, and this I'm reading from his Facebook page, and you can follow him on Facebook. He wrote, "All of my life, I've enjoyed writing a little poem and verse occasionally. Rhyming things has always come easy to me for some reason." See, there you go. For some reason. Yep. You know, I can just rhyme things and write poems. He said, "I used to do it a lot for injecting a little humor into something I was doing on the radio. And these days, I've been using some of those writings to express with music. With a newfound way of using AI to bring your words to life, I've been having a blast. Here's a poem I have just recently written and put to music. I seem to be getting more sentimental and reflective as time passes this." Passes this? This one is called...
That's the past tense of past.
Past. This one, he says, is called Older and Wiser, and maybe you can relate.
And as you're listening to this, keep in mind, what you're hearing is the song that Spike wrote, Spike created, but it's not his voice. It is an AI voice singing what Spike wrote. And the song is called
Older and Wiser,
So They Say. I love that.
I do too.
That's a hit song. Again, that's an AI voice singing the melody and everything else that Spike Odell wrote. That's wonderful.
I forgot to ask if he gets to choose the style of music. Like, is it pop? Is it country? I think you do when you,
I think
you,
so.
You feed the words into it. But some of the words are just...
We got to see if Du Bois could stay up late next week and talk. Because I want to play that again next week. Jonathan, this is the first time you heard this. What do you think?
I thought it was incredibly intriguing. And I was... just the lyrics... unto themselves, I was kind of getting misty-eyed.
They really
do hit you right in the feels.
Love deeply, love every chance. I love this line.
What was the line about the phone?
Oh, tell people you love them while they're here to know.
Yeah.
I was like, dang, you're right. Gosh. Learn when to argue, when to quit.
Yep.
It's really powerful. It should be... It should be recorded and it should be released.
We may have to talk to Julian and see if we could put together a little video, because people should hear that, and we should somehow try to, if Spike wouldn't mind, we should somehow try to get it up on YouTube.
You know what? I bet, because Spike is all over the internet, you know, pictures of him because he was at this radio station for decades, a video of young Spike bringing it all up to the present. But I actually like the dude that's singing, the AI dude that's singing.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Greatest American Hero. Who did that song?
Believe It or Not, I'm Walking on Air.
Same voice, same.
Yeah, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't think of his name. It's going to jump in my head, or somebody's going to text us at 312-981-7200.
But you looked at me in that line, don't spend your life looking at a screen.
Yeah.
You went, yep, yep.
I mean, that's absolutely one. I can guarantee we will play it again next week.
Yes. You can grab it yourself if you go to Spike's Facebook page, Spike Odell.
You can hear it there.
And yeah, you can hear it there.
I don't think you can download it.
I think some people said they were saving it so they could play it for their parents. I'm not.
Well, you can send it to yourself.
Yeah, send it to yourself and then play it for your parents.
Yes, Gilbert. Jonathan was just asking if it was Joey.
Scarborough.
Scarborough.
Yes. Thank you. That was because that voice.
Yeah.
Is good.
Very similar.
It fits well with the lyrics of the song too.
I love that song.
I know.
That's a hit song.
I know. And I said to him, we're going to play it on the radio. And he said, really? You like it? Yes.
708 area code. What a beautiful song. Way to go, Spike. Yeah. Sing it.
Yeah. Dang, that boy is talented.
And I don't know what will transpire between now and next week, but we will definitely play it again next week. And if we can do anything to get... some kind of a YouTube video. Julian, if you're listening, we want that into a YouTube video, and we'll put it up simply, hoping Spike wouldn't mind, and I don't think he would.
I don't think so. He's very protective of his paintings because people they steal paintings and pictures and reproduce them as their own, so he's very protective of that. A listener said, as we were rattling off all the things that our Renaissance friend can do, he also gave us BYB mustard. Bite your butt mustard.
Yeah.
That was him too. Yeah.
That was selling out at the Door County Bakery.
That's right. Listener says, please play it again next week. I just listened to this song that Spike wrote. It's wonderful. Yes, it is. Yes, we'll play it next week. We'll play it earlier in the show. And I think we'll talk
about it.
Let's
see if we can try to get Billy Spike Odell to stay up late with us.
Because he gets up at the crack of dawn and
say, Jonathan, you were looking as if you were pregnant with thought.
Because you kind of hit the nail on the head. It does have tones that I could see in older television shows that I had grown up with, but it kind of brings it all back together that we did television show intros at the beginning of our show, and now television shows don't even have intros or theme songs for that matter. Even the Big Bang Theory ones were only like 18 seconds, but it used to be a full-length song as the intro to the show. So,
and now, if anything, television shows will have songs they will play in the context of the show, but not necessarily as a thing. Which reminds me, We know. Okay, we'll take a break. And then we should mention a show that we just watched last night, a new show that we both liked a lot.
A listener had a suggestion, and I think I had not considered this. I don't like the AI voice. It's too young and breezy for the words. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I'd like now, what older singer would we like to hear sing that? It sounds like a youthful sounding singer with a great voice doing a cover.
I can tell. I don't know if I'm the singer, but I'm going to try and learn that song.
It lacks the extra emotion that some phrases call for. Good point. I happen to agree with you there that I think it would have a different. It might be too sad, to be honest with you, if it was an older singer.
I don't know.
Because this kind of gets a message across in an upbeat way. Mm-hmm. You know, laugh while you can, love while you can, tell them you love them while they know.
Empty pockets.
Yeah.
Josh.
Yes.
Empty pockets.
I like that.
Yes, yes,
yes. I know he's young, but.
But he's.
Also, perhaps a female version of this song.
Yeah.
Like a female front person.
Or maybe empty pockets. Both of them.
Ooh, a duet.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, boy, this is good. It is just a really good song. People are loving it. So I think we can talk him into staying up to do our show for a few minutes. We can play it next week by telling him about all the good response we got on our... Because he was surprised when I said, we want to play it on the show tonight. And bless his heart, he wrote me a note back and he said, well, do you have a good copy? Do you need one? And all right, we better take a break. We're in the final stretch of the show here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. The Ides of March, Jim Peterick, I'm Your Vehicle Baby.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking and they were playing this weekend?
Yeah, yeah. Well, speaking of great songwriters, Jim Peterick, one of the hardest working men in Chicago, musicians in Chicago. They were at Jamboree Days, the Ides of March, probably heading home about right now.
Yeah, hey, Jim.
They probably stopped to get a bite to eat after the show. It was a big deal, Jamboree Days. The Buckinghams were on at 6:30 this evening. What a night. The Buckinghams at 6:30, 8 o'clock, the Ides of March. 2 days of live music.
Where was this
Carpenter Park?
Okay.
Carpenter Park. I've got this fancy ad here for it, but they don't tell me where Carpenter Park is.
Hmm.
But I'm sure someone listening will be
if anybody knows, Carpenter Park.
Because they had
music
that started at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at Jamboree Days, and today was the last day. It started on Friday at 4:30. And did Buck Cherry. Haven't heard Buck Cherry in forever. They were the 9 o'clock band last night. And then everything started up again at 2 o'clock this afternoon with Sparks Fly and the Buckinghams and the Ides of March.
Carpentersville is Carpenter's Park.
As in Carpenter Park. Okay, great.
Speaking of friends of ours performing, we should mention Joel Patterson.
Yes.
Who is going to be at Space Sunday night. Joel, who has been on the show many times. And yes, this is the same Joel Patterson that was hired by Bob Dylan about a month or so ago. And it was on the road for a while with Bob. I'm not sure if he's going to be continuing, but he's been back in Chicago. I think he did the Green Mill and a couple other places, and tonight he's doing Space.
Oh, he did Simon's, the Tavern on the North Side up in Andersonville. He did that Thursday night, and then Sunday night at 7 o'clock, it's going to be a rare appearance outside of the Green Mill. You can see his organ jazz quartet. I spaced there for a moment because it wasn't this quartet because when we saw Joel.
Joel has.
Oh, he's so many.
So many different. He is one of the hardest working. He has the Western Elstons. Then he has I think just the Joel Patterson group.
Yeah.
Then he's been performing. Who is the feet person he just did an album with? A recent album.
And then the organ jazz quartet is Ben Patterson, not related to him.
Alex Hall.
And Natalie Scharf, C-S-C-H-A-R-F. So that's 7 o'clock Sunday night at Space in Evanston. And if you've never been to Space in Evanston,
we love it.
Yeah, it's really one of our favorite, if not our favorite, listening room in Chicago.
We should take a break. Are we down to about the last half hour?
I think that's why my mind is like, I got so many things to say and do in the next half hour. So news is next.
That's what you're blaming it on?
You're going to be very hungry when we get home. You do not know your way around the kitchen. You're going to be real hungry.
You're going to have a long walk.
No, second thought. News is next here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That guitar is Joel Patterson. That's the Modern Sounds, one of Joel's many. In fact, that's the group that where we first discovered Joel Patterson.
Yep, in studio with us.
And we need to dig up the version of that they did in studio with us because it was absolutely wonderful.
1 o'clock in the morning, stand-up bass, drums, Joel on guitar.
Just the three of them.
He's so good.
Joel Patterson is so talented. Well, everybody in the group is.
Yeah.
But Joel is going to be appearing tonight at Space in Evanston. We said that we would mention a new TV show that we happened to watch last night. It premiered on USA, and I think it may be running on some other network, too. It's called Anna Pigeon. And apparently, I didn't know a whole lot about this, but I guess there have been a series of books.
19 books in the series of Anna Pigeon. And she is a
forest ranger.
A national parks forest ranger. Yeah. But there's a whole lot of drama. I mean, in the first episode, there's murder.
Multi layers of things going
there's
on.
There's murder and cougars and...
And I don't even remember the actress who is starring in it, but apparently she was from some other series, and it's being produced by...
Leah Thompson.
Leah Thompson, yeah.
Yeah. And Leah Thompson was a fan of the books, and then Leah Thompson... decided, and she has a certain amount of clout in Hollywood because she's been a very successful actress, that she wanted to make this a reality. And USA Network is carrying it, so you don't have to pay for it.
It's every Friday on USA, and they just premiered it last night. I'm sure they'll be running the first episode various times through the week. But it's well done. Multi-layered.
New episodes every Friday. I'm trying to see how many episodes are going to be. The character Anna Pigeon works in Montana's fictional Glacier National Park. I was just overwhelmed by how beautiful it was.
Oh, absolutely. And but it's filmed up in Canada, right?
Yeah. Anna Pigeon focuses on solving dark crimes and murders hidden deep within the wilderness. And she's got her bag full of troubles that she has to deal with because her husband, she did live in New York and she worked in the theater community and her husband was an actor and he was killed. Was he killed or was it an accident?
That's going to be a thread throughout the show.
It's kind of pushed her into a
bottle.
Jonathan,
you found out who the actress is?
Tracy Spidakos, and that was courtesy of Big Plug Bob.
Oh. Spiridakos.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah. Tracy Spiridakos. Apparently she has a big following. I wasn't familiar with any of the other faces in the show, but it was well done. She was terrific. And it had just enough drama so that it didn't make me have nightmares. I was able to walk away from it and go, oh, that was a TV show, not, oh, was that reality? I can't sleep. As you said earlier, I have to watch some HGTV to cleanse my palate.
Yeah, we're talking about the mind of a murderer, or the murder. No, I'm forgetting the name.
Memory of a killer.
Memory of a killer. Thank you.
Same thing.
Well, close enough for jazz.
Yes, we were talking about that because that's a show that I love to binge shows. If I like a show, I like to watch a lot of episodes of it. I cannot.
But you can't take more than one of those.
I can't. And you'll even say to me, do you want to watch an episode? And I go, no, I can't do it tonight. It's just really well done. It's like watching, in my world, it's kind of like watching a slice of news, and it can be kind of heavy. And yeah, I can't walk away from it.
The other show that we watched last night, and sadly it was the ending episode for this year.
Oh, yes.
It's a wonderful show that's on PBS. It's called Patience.
Patience. If you have a chance to tune into that, it comes from the BBC. It's based on a show, a similar show, maybe out of New Zealand, called Astrid, where your main character is autistic.
Yep.
And Patience works in the crime department.
Because she's autistic and she really focuses on things.
She can see things that other people don't see because the way her mind works, she can analyze things.
And if you present her with a problem, she's not going to rest until she has solved that problem, and that helps her to help the police department to solve cases.
Yeah. It's a very smart show.
Really well
and
done.
And apparently the autism community has been very, very pleased with the way she is presenting. And she is autistic, too. Mm-hmm. The actress is. And I think the Astrid series, similar series, the actress is also autistic. And so they've been very, very careful about saying, okay, we're not going to sensationalize.
Right.
But we're just going to say, this is her reality. And boy, I was sad when this season ended, because we get it after they get it in Great Britain.
Yeah.
So season,
and whenever Channel 11 decides to,
but it's
to
done.
Air it, cause,
it's cause done.
Channel
well.
11 marches to their own drummer. They're PBS, but they do not follow the
national
PBS schedule.
Should be on right after Fawlty's Hours.
I guess in Great Britain, they'll get season three in January of next year, and we won't get season three till next summer.
But the good news is the first season was like six episodes. Second season they just concluded was eight episodes, and the third season is going to be 10 episodes because it's being so well received.
Yes. It is. The more I think about it, it's a smart show.
It's an,
sometimes.
Really smart. So you need to, you may need to watch it closed captioned, because, my ears and British accents don't often or quite frequently have problems, and I have to go back and say, what did they just say?
And that's okay, because, you know, a one-hour show becomes an hour and 10-minute show because we stop it and roll it back and go, huh? Because when they really start talking quickly, I'm like, oh, wait a minute, they're speaking English, but I'm not understanding what they're saying. So if you're looking for something that you want to maybe try out, I'm sure you can find it and stream it. Patience is the name of that show.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is Anna Pigeon
on
Friday nights on the USA Network, and Crave. I'm not familiar with Crave, but apparently it's being streamed on Crave as well.
We should mention that next week we will have a full show, and Tom Appel will be joining us. And one of the things we're going to do with Tom is do a follow-up on the car alarm problem that we talked about tonight with Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
And we may get them both on to talk about it a little bit, but we're going to make sure that Tom is aware of this and see what he can find out from some of the automotive manufacturers or car dealers about what you can do about this. And if you don't know what we're talking about, it will be in Patrick's tech notes. And yes, they will show up probably at some point tomorrow, and it will be a Patrick tech note twofer, because we didn't get around to doing the we didn't get around to doing the tech notes 2 weeks ago, so we're going to make it a twofer of the notes that were supposed to be up 2 weeks ago, and the ones from this week's show. We woke up big, finding the actress's name, it woke up Big Plug Bob, and now he's hopped on his Zamboni, and he's trying to get ready to clean up the studio.
He's trying to kill you.
If you would like to be our last caller, assuming we survive the Zamboni to get to the call, the number is 312-981-7200. The number again is 312-981-7200. And And if you haven't won anything in the last 60 days or 2 months, whichever comes first.
I think he's done in here because we really didn't mess up the joint. It looks good.
Well, I didn't.
I didn't either. You are really cruising for a bruising.
No, Bob's cruising. Here he comes again.
I was going to threaten you with burned toast, but you'd go, yay!
Yeah, please.
Oh, God, I love my toast burned.
Throw me in that briar patch.
You're so weird.
Well, you know weird.
Next you're going to say takes one to no one, right? Okay.
312-981-70. Don't snort. 312-981-70.
It's you, not me.
Excuse me?
Stop that. Stop snorting.
Okay, I think we should take a break. So,
that'd be our last
Jonathan,
caller.
When the spirit moves you, Jonathan, hit a button. Yeah, you really kind of do.
Nope.
And that answers the question that a listener said, what is the name of your closing song that eventually gets naughty that you don't hear on the radio unless it is our swan song, the last song you will ever hear us play? It is the closing song by Red Peters. Look
it up. Somebody suggested that Red Peters should sing Spike's song.
No. No. Someone else said maybe Dolly Parton. And I kind of stopped
That's
on that.
Interesting.
And I thought, I could hear that. A little cry in her voice. Yeah. You know, completely different vibe.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay.
But Red Peters is, in fact, coming out with a new album.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have him back on. We should remind you next week, a couple things. Next week, full show, 9 o'clock. And also next week, we will talk with Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do our best to get Billy Spike Odell to stay up late and come on the radio with us.
Yeah.
And also, don't forget to check out our blog. That's steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. We would appreciate it if you would subscribe. No fee. We don't spam you. We don't sell your information. You just get an email anytime we do a new blog post. And there's going to be a bunch of new blog posts over the next several days. There will be the twofer of Patrick's Tech Notes.
Mm-hmm.
There will be the Alice Wallace videos. There will be Empty Pockets videos.
Yeah.
What was the other thing we were talking about?
You've got seven performance videos coming your way over the next few weeks, and they're so good.
What was the other blog thing we were talking about earlier
this
week? I don't
know. It's the end of the show.
Oh, okay.
I have talked for 5 hours. I've been brilliant up until...
Excuse me?
I'm sorry. I made myself laugh.
Yeah.
It's like, really? You just said that, girl? Okay. We are looking for a caller that's going to be the cherry on top of the 5 hour show. They're going to leave us feeling good until we can get back here.
So feel no pressure.
And do this all over again next Saturday night. So are you going to choose the number?
Yeah, I think, let's see. Number 42.
Okay.
And number 42 appears to be Russ. Hey, Russ, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Des Plaines.
Hey, Russ, why are you up at this hour?
Well, I work late today, so I work on weekends a lot. I'm part-timer, you know, but...
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Old guy, 75, still working.
Mm-hmm.
So
oh, you're a kid.
Happy for that.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, before I forget, Johnny, I remember this was maybe a couple months ago, and I caught part of it, whatever, I was on my way home. You made, was it... pork ribs in a crock pot.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
can you
man.
You read that real quick, how to do that?
Yes, yes. It's super
you know,
simple.
You are going to make me so hungry.
Oh, my gosh. I tell you, anyone that will listen to me, I say, if you like barbecue ribs, you have to do this.
And honestly, this isn't just because Johnny is in the studio with me. These are the best rib, the best falling off the bone ribs I have ever had in my life.
Okay, two things I would...
You sold me at.
Okay, two things I want to recommend to you. Get your ribs at either Jewel or Mariano's. And I'm very serious. Watch the sales, because I recently loaded up our freezer. Buy one, get one free. Because the slab will run you about $20-$21 for a slab of ribs. Getting one free was a great deal. So now, and I love the Hormel brand of baby back ribs. Okay, so you got a big old slab of ribs. Take it out of the plastic. I don't even pull that that shiny skin that's on the back. You know that.
Right.
You don't even have to do that, because a crock pot takes care of that. So you know, you dry the ribs. We recommend Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce. Yeah. It's the best.
I have it.
Okay, so now you're going to slather on your dried ribs. So with paper towels, you dry all the juices off of them. Rub that Sweet Baby Ray's. Stand them up inside your crock pot. Probably a good idea to either oil or spray Pam inside the crock pot so it's easy cleanup.
Gotcha.
So now you... I've done as many as three slabs in one crock pot, and I curl the one up in the middle, but the other two are around the... standing up around the edge. I'm demonstrating for you to show you how it looks. Put that lid on. 6 hours later, on low, I've done it on high, don't like them as much on high as on low for 6 hours, your house will smell like heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Now, here's where it gets difficult.
I'm getting so hungry.
The hard part is getting those suckers out of the crock pot, because as you tried to lift them out, the bones are falling in the crock pot, and the meat is coming out, you know, on your spatula or whatever you're trying to lift them out with.
Yeah, we'll just take a spoon with the holes there, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I lift them out like that, lay them on a cookie sheet, run them under the broiler for about 3 to 5 minutes so that that barbecue sauce gets all brown and kind of sticky. Oh, it's some good eating, my friend.
And Russ, if you didn't get all of that, Russ, you can go to our blog, steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And just do a search for ribs.
And
the first thing that will come up is Johnny's gluten-free barbecue rib dinner. And there's the whole recipe
and
along
pictures.
With a picture.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I think I know what I'm having tomorrow.
You do it. And the fun thing is, you can get up on a Sunday and say, I want this for Sunday dinner. So you put them on at, you know, 10, 11 o'clock
hint,
in the morning.
Hint.
Oh, my gosh.
Sunday dinner. Ribs?
Yes, yes.
And they'll last a couple days in the fridge.
Well, yes.
Yeah. And I want to reheat them.
Well, actually, they're very good right out of the refrigerator cold.
They really are.
Oh, I can make even a nice sandwich.
Yes. Oh, because now they've shredded. So now you've got shredded pork. You put it on a bun. You're ready to go. But what I've done is I've just put them on a paper plate and put them in the microwave. And I would start like for 30 seconds. And next thing you know, they're all done. But by that time, seriously, pull them off the bone and just make yourself a fabulous pulled pork sandwich. Oh,
sounds good. Thank you for that info. Oh, I enjoyed your peacock story.
Absolutely
and I'll
true.
Tell you my story, real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, sure.
My little 4-year-old granddaughter, and I always call her a silly goose. So we drive by this little back road. There's always geese there, and I said, "There's the geese. So let's feed them." So I would pick her up from 3 days a week. She went to a summer camp, and that's our ritual. Every day we feed them. And, I mean, there are some days, I swear, there's 30 to 40 geese.
Wow.
They come
sure.
everywhere, right?
Wow.
And she's not afraid. The little girl, she just feeds them, and except the one time one nipped her finger because was trying to grab the food from her hand, and she dropped the container. I was laughing instead of being concerned.
Yeah.
She bit me.
No.
She still went back feeding them. Most kids would say, I'm out of here, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm impressed, though, because I've always been told that geese can get very territorial and and kind of pushy.
One time, this is a few months ago, there was a mother goose with the little ones.
Oh.
And she's going to feed the little ones, and she's trying to run after them. So here's mommy and daddy are like dive bombing her, and she didn't even mind.
Oh, that's cute. And you call her the silly goose. That's great.
Yeah,
well, it was.
She calls me Cuckoo Bird Grandpa, you know.
What does she call you?
Cuckoo Bird.
cuckoo bird.
Cuckoo bird.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a fun thing. I said, you're a silly goose. Well, you're a
cuckoo.
Silly goose. Well, you're a cuckoo bird.
Oh, that's sweet. And she's 4 years old. What's her name? Give her a shout out.
Emma.
Emma. Sweet Emma. Well, it's nice to meet you, Russ, and I want you to enjoy those ribs. Make yourself some coleslaw, because you got to have your coleslaw.
Send us a picture of you with the ribs.
Mm-hmm. And a happy face, because you'll be happy.
Now, hold on for a couple seconds, and Jonathan will get some information from you off the air.
We're going to send you an official WGN Radio T-shirt, and we appreciate your tuning in.
Jonathan, are you as hungry as we are right now?
Oh, my gosh.
Incredibly. That was an amazing description, and I'm
did you heat dinner up earlier tonight? Is that what we smelled, or was Bob doing that?
I'm sorry, one more time.
Did you heat up dinner earlier tonight? Because we smelled something in here.
It was about 2 hours ago. We smelled something really good.
Somebody did have a frozen something thawing.
Somebody.
Mr. Bob.
Uh-huh.
Good smells in the hall. All right, we're out of here, but our thanks to Bob, in spite of the fact that he was heating up good-smelling food.
And to Ron Brown.
Yes.
And, of course,
and
to...
Jonathan, too.
Yeah, okay. Very welcome.
And you guys.
And yes, we will try to get Spike to stay up late with us next week. So tune in and see if we succeed. We'll talk to you next week.